following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Hey, everybody, I'm Michael.
I hope the Jets win.
Go, Jets, go!
I forgot. I'm going to change to my Jets hat right now.
Wait, we need it. We need it.
We need all the juju we can get right now, man.
Listener, if you are not of Winnipeg area or even Canadian livings, we are in Winnipeg, if you've never known that about us. And it is do or die day.
It is.
The Jets. It's 3-2. Dallas is leading the series.
That's right.
Hellebuck, I don't know. Hellebuck decided to goalie the other night.
Yeah.
It was a great game to watch because it was like, is this going to be another one of those like nail biters? Is this going to be another two?
And it was like going into the second period, it was still 0-0. So it was like, it was nerve wracking.
Definitely was. Yeah. And I'm like,
that cheap shot against Scheifele.
Oh my God.
What a joke.
Dude, seriously, joke. Like Apollo Creed was in the building.
Favorite moment though. Scheifele got a goal. I can't remember why they didn't allow
punch.
It.
It was the
and
punch.
And then the whole crowd started yelling, should have kicked it.
Yeah.
That was fucking hilarious.
Because if you missed the previous game, Martin.
Oh my God, he kicked it.
Listen, we're not going to talk about movies today. This is the Jets podcast.
It's a
hockey day. Sorry, everything stops in Winnipeg when hockey's related. They blatantly kicked it. They blatantly kicked it. And then they tried to say that when Connor Hellebuck went to save it, he put it in the net.
Which it doesn't matter the intention or what happened. It matters that he fucking kicked it.
It's like physics. Where did the action start?
Correct.
Right? It doesn't matter what the reaction was.
That's right. The rule states you can't kick it, not what the intention is. Oh, he didn't try kicking in front of the net, but he did kick it, so that's not allowed.
Exactly.
Right.
The goal is the action.
Correct.
The reaction to the action.
That's right.
Physics wins. Refs open their eyes. Anyways,
so
go Jets go is the whole theme here in Winnipeg. I'm watching the game at Mark's tonight.
Yeah,
are you guys doing?
My parents are out of town, so we're house sitting. We're just checking on the house and whatnot, so we figured we would just go there and watch.
Yeah, you're eating their food. I do the same thing.
Just like trash their place.
Yeah, no, totally. That's what
party at Charles's parents.
Yeah.
Winnipeg party at Charles. Yeah, send it out now.
M Foods there. We can just stick in the oven,
there you
right?
Go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Jets food.
That's right.
I said to Mark today, I was like, so are we having dinner? He's like, well, we're either having dinner or the amount of snacks that equate dinner.
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
And right? I'm like, that's my
let's get a pizza. Just order a pizza. Yeah.
I think that's
what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Pretty sure that's what we're doing. Anyway, so listener, back to what we do best, which is clearly not talk about sports because I'm in the room. Welcome back to the show. It's been a minute. I just got back from Alaska. Alaska was fantastic.
Yeah.
I watched a bunch of new movies on the cruise ship. That's the highlight of the being.
like, how was your trip? And he was like, so I saw these movies.
That's my response to being
great.
In the world. Like, and Martin,
they got some good movies on the cruise ships.
I watched Last Breath on the cruise ship. Like, I watched a movie about a guy being underwater for 27 minutes.
Woody Harrelson's in there?
Yeah, and Simulu.
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah.
It's actually really good.
I heard it was
like,
good. Yeah,
I was in tears at the end of it. But like watching that while you're on a rocking cruise ship, it's very Ford. You saw my review.
Yeah, it's a little twisted.
I strongly suggest watching.
Like watching the Titanic.
Yeah,
you
really
watch the Titanic when you're on a cruise ship.
On 4D. That's like that. That's just real.
Fuck 4DX.
It's just real DX.
It's real D.
Yeah.
I had the D in me.
Yeah.
Rocking me.
Yeah.
So I was in Alaska. Martin told us all about what we should do. We did all those things. I will be posting those pictures and a video of it at the later date because it's just there's like 400 pictures,
of
right?
Of course. Hey, that's
every
great.
Iceberg you take a picture of.
If you're an older person, Alaska cruise is the best. I'm just going to say that. Like, I did it in my 40s, it was amazing.
Dude, like we were the youngest people. And when you're the youngest people at 40,
everybody has
money. Everybody's there to play.
You see
each other. Like out of 2,000 people, there were maybe under 140-year-olds.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
So like when you see each other in a room.
You all just thrive.
You just thrive.
That's great.
It's so good. We fished. We hiked. We went to glaciers. I should have made a commercial of this. So I snuck an Evian bottle off the ship because you're not supposed to. And I also snuck weed on the ship because you're not supposed to. But whatever. That's besides the point.
All in your butt, eh?
All in my butt.
All in your butt.
Yeah, those gummies, I tell you. They had a taint. Pun intended.
Yeah.
So I snuck an Evian off, put it in my bag. We went to the Mendenhall Glacier. And unfortunately, there isn't a picture of me, but I'm standing under a glacier waterfall crushing an Evian.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Like, I'm like, is this not the height of douche? Like,
yeah, we can Photoshop an.
Did you refill it after you crushed it?
Should have, but yeah. Like, I'd have fallen in and been the white guy floating through the fucking white
turret. You holding the American flag with an eagle. We'll Photoshop that all in. And then...
Dude, I have a video. So here's the highlight of the trip before we do all this shit. So. Related to the show. I'll tie this into the show.
What movie did you watch?
all the movies I watched. No. So out of all the things we did go on the Aleutian Ballad, which is the one of six ships from season one to season three of Deadliest Catch.
Oh, yeah. Remember you told me this.
It has been converted into a amphitheater.
That's amazing.
You experience the crab fishing life.
Wow.
You go out, they pull pods of crab. I've got pictures of me holding rock crab and snow crab. I wasn't allowed to hold a king crab because those things just like fucking face suckers.
Terrifying.
They're terrifying, yeah, but they're so good. And so you go on the cruise ship, and the captain of the cruise ship is literally the guy who owned it when it was on the show.
Oh, wow.
And he tells you the stories of how the ship had sunk or had toppled or was pulled under and flipped on its side.
Oh, my God.
How he tried to get rid of it three times and ended up getting it back either for free or for really cheap. And, like this, he's like, this boat is the luckiest boat I've ever owned.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn her into this. He tells you the story. But then you get three different cruise ship captains telling you how they've all almost died and their worst stories at sea while you're chugging along.
Right.
And there was a moment where we weren't catching fish. It was kind of a low point in the tour. So they're like, okay, we're going to turn it up to 11. And they took us to Eagle Island where they cracked open a box of herring and started hucking it out into the water. And out of nowhere, 100 eagles. It is like birds, man. It is 100%.
Just straight up swooping down and grabbing.
Swooping down. Pulling it out. He's throwing it in the air. They're pulling it out of the air.
Holy shit.
They're both. I got videos of it. They're swooping down to the water. I took some slow-mo shit of it.
That
like,
must have been so cool.
6.5 to 7 foot wingspan eagle. Full-grown flying.
That's crazy.
Above my head.
That's so dope.
They're fucking big, man. You see their – I saw their nests, too. Their nests are huge.
They're huge.
So being on that ship, the memorial for the guy who died on it on the show is in the ship.
Oh, like, yeah,
you can
that's
donate.
Right.
You can donate to a memorial that donates to all the lost fishermen at sea and stuff
right.
The poster signed by like all the cast members was down there. I was talking to one of the captains. I was like, so like, do you, I know it's weird to say this, but you must know the other captains. And he starts telling me stories about Sig Phil. And I'm like,
awesome.
This is so weird because, like, I love this show.
Yeah.
But now you're getting, like, the no bullshit, not edited version of what Deadliest Catch can be. So if you're ever in Ketchikan, it's Ketchikan. It's $300, but it's worth it.
That's so cool.
You spend like 3 hours on the ship. I saw an octopus named Hank.
Oh, cool.
Who like pretty much wanted to molest the guy who was holding him. And then he was like, hey, Hank, you're going in.
They just wrap around.
They do.
Right?
Yeah. They suck. They like three brains in an octopus.
Right.
I think that's why that guy had that affair on that Netflix documentary with one. Pretty sure
they also do that on The Boys.
See what I'm saying?
Three
yes,
mouths,
they do.
Three brains.
Yeah. Like party time. So Alaska was great. It's good to be back. We were off air for a minute, even though you didn't know, listener. We still had episodes coming out because we're just that good. So back in it. This today for you is all about Tom Cruise. We're big fans of Tom Cruise on the show, Safely. Mark, I'd say.
Little TC.
Hey, this is dedicated to Mark today. Is not.
This Mark, this one's for you, baby.
Yeah.
This is all Cruise. We're in full Cruise control today. Martin came up with this one. We were doing the what actor, what character should be. That was where we were in our mindset. And you thought, wouldn't it be funny if Tom Cruise characters were cult leaders? Which is so on point for Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I mean, like, he is a cult leader, or he's part of a cult. And
I've got Scientology.
I think he's the silent partner.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. What's the...
He doesn't boast it, but he's part of it, right? He's not, like, out there flashy, like a Travolta.
Well, status numbers, and he's on that tier level of, like, top.
He's Thetan 42.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's David Miscavige is the name of
the
big guy.
The one,
his
wife.
He's the head. He's the head.
Yeah, he's big head.
No one's seen his wife in like 30 years or something.
She's on the ship doing labor, probably.
Yeah,
that's what they do. But so Martin thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny? And it's like when you look at his character list, like when you look at his career, it's like there are a lot of potential cult leader. Like,
oh, there's so many,
right? And I don't know if that's art imitating life or if that's life imitating art,
right?
Like. Is he just sprinkling a little Scientology into Frank T.J. Mackey?
We're also doing this in anticipation of the final...
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Final Reckoning.
I believe with that title, it should be his last, I think is what they're...
I don't know. We don't know. It just depends how much money it's going to make.
I guess so, hey.
Like, it's...
Because they were even supposed to split this one into two parts, but they decided... Or this is the second part, I think.
This is the second part. This is so Dead Reckoning was the first one,
and then this is final. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's all things Cruise. It's Star Wars month at the beginning. It's Cruise at the end.
Yeah.
It's the It's the start of the big release calendar. I think we're three movies into the big summer.
Yeah, the big summer blockbusters.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about, you know, some Mission Impossible, some popcorn buckets. Have you seen it? Have you seen the popcorn bucket?
Well, they made one for Mission Impossible.
They did.
I didn't see it yet.
So it's the two keys from the anomaly.
Ugh.
And you put them together, and then that opens the popcorn bucket.
Oh, okay,
that's cool. That's kind of cool.
It's okay. Not you can't fuck it, but it's a
you can't fuck this one. I mean,
this isn't Doom.
Mike, well, there's a will, there's a way.
I mean, don't ever say you can't. Yeah, like the internet always delivers.
You know, there's like a huge group that are going to hear this and be like, challenge accepted, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there'll be a hashtag.
You're going to get so many videos on the Real Debaters mailbox with videos of people fucking this popcorn bucket.
Hold my Dune bucket while I fuck the Mission Impossible bucket.
Oh, so these guys just made the bucket. Their dicks are the keys. Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Mission Impossible? Talk about Mission Probable.
The Mission Impossible Force. We can fuck anything.
The final fucking.
So we're going to have a Tom Cruise day on the show. We're going to debate. We're going to talk about stuff. It's going to be fun. Before we get into it, we just want to let you know we're doing things. If you have been to one of our Trivia Plus events, you know they're fun. And the next one we're having, if you haven't been following us on social media, shame on you, listener, if you want to know all these things that are happening. If you want to know fun things that are happening in Winnipeg about movie fandom and TV fandom and podcasts,
I think it's us.
Like, we're holding.
What are you doing?
Yeah, we would love to marry up with other. If there's other podcasts, or like we should do a trivia and then have another podcast there with us.
Oh yeah,
I think that'd be fun too, right? Yeah, like music trivia that's from movies.
Yeah.
We could have Sam, our competitor from, what's the fucking music show he does? Shit, I ate too many edibles.
I'm trying to remember now.
All right, that's fine.
Great plug.
Yeah, totally. That's
plug episode. Great plug right there.
We're doing another trivia night, and the trivia night is this is the trivia night you've been looking for.
Oh.
These are the trivia nights you have been waiting for. You haven't figured it out, it's Star Wars trivia night, listener. It's the first time we've actually recorded that we can talk about it. I think episodes had come out that we just posted it, but like you're gonna have
question. Is the Star Wars trivia just on the original trilogy, or is it all the movies, or is it the shows?
Great solid question, Martin. Yeah, definitely. There's some people out there who would be like, I'm not coming unless it's OG trivia.
Yeah.
And there's other people who are like, well, I'm okay with The Phantom Menace, and so are we. But like, you're getting into the weeds.
Because there's a lot. There's a lot of content to draw from.
There is.
We're just doing The Last Jedi.
Oh, just The Last Jedi.
No.
Yes.
That would be, right. Yes. Yeah. There's three people out there that are like, sweet.
One round dedicated to Rian Johnson movies only.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Star Wars. No.
Yeah.
We are doing OG trilogy plus a bonus round of random shit.
Yeah.
That's cool. So round one, New Hope. Round two, Empire. Round three, Return. Round four is Jimmy's to fuck
just
with every.
Just the Christmas special.
Just the Christmas.
You can watch it on Disney Plus, I believe. So yeah,
can you?
Yeah, it's back on there.
Oh, George must just be.
I think the rule is they just don't have it anywhere. You have to search it.
Is it under like a different tile?
Yeah. I think like you probably have to search it. Like it'll never be suggested, or you know what I mean. It'll just you have to look for it. But yeah, it is on there. Yeah.
I'm looking for it before I go watch the game tonight. May 29th, 7:30 p.m. Doors at 6:45. Over 40 original trilogy plus questions. Over 40 plus questions will be asked of you. We're also going to have a cosplay channel because this is fun when people dress up.
Yeah, people have been dressing up.
We had like seven people at the office.
Yeah, the office one was great.
And we had the Michaels.
A team of Michaels.
The Michaels, and then Pam won.
Yes, Pam won.
Name eludes me, but she.
The variations of the Michaels, like they did Prison Mike, Date Mike.
Yeah.
Injured
Prison
Mike.
Is
dude. And like Martin, they were amazing. Like, they were all good. The George Foreman grill, like she even had the bubble wrap on her foot. Like it
It was great. It was spot on.
Yeah, there's pictures of it. They absolutely killed it.
So tickets are on sale right now. Link in bio. Link in the show notes. $10 a ticket. There's also an adult coloring contest. What does that mean? That means we're all adults, so we're going to be coloring. But if you want to draw a dick on Leia's forehead, I can't stop you. So it's going to.
That's what we think. Adult coloring. It's like so they're all naked. It's
No. I'm not. Yeah. It's all Leia in a bikini. That's all it is. And Han in a Speedo. And Luke.
Nah, it's Chewy just dick out. That's what it is. Yeah. It's all Chewy dick out.
Just the helmet.
Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is, but Yoda's Yoda packing dick. Like 14 inches.
Yoda dick.
Yeah, Yoda dick. That a dick. No, it's gonna
be daddy poles. We call them.
We're doing Imperial versus Rebel is the whole theme of the coloring contest.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So, we have some Imperial images. We're gonna have some Rebel images, and they could be like anything. It could be just a fucking land speeder. It could be It could be.
Could be an AT-AT.
Right. That's like, right. And you just do whatever you want.
Could be a lightsaber.
The person who won last time added lines from the show.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they added dialogue.
It was a poster. It was art. It was a lot of different things. So, $10 for these three things: trivia, cosplay, and coloring. And there's prizes for each.
That is right.
Send it to the movie theater. We give you a little brown jug swag because they're awesome, and then we pick a random prize for whatever we feel like giving away. I actually have some 3D printed Beskar. I was thinking of asking someone in town to 3D print us something,
A
little that's specifically to the Real Debaters Star Wars trivia. So if the Force isn't with you, that's fine. But if you are of OG trilogy, you like the original three, that is your wheelhouse. That is what this is specifically designed for. Charles, Emily, Jimmy, and myself will be there. We like to have fun. You can insult us. We can insult you because you came, you paid. You just got to get something for your money. And we like to have fun. We're going to be dressed up. I'm going to have the lightsaber from Disney Star Wars.
Oh,
land there.
I'll bring some Star Wars.
You bring some stuff. Star. Yeah, Jimmy can just be Jar Jar, I think.
Yeah.
Because
blue milk. We'll just sell blue milk.
I think we can food color the beer.
Yeah.
We'll food color our beer.
Yeah.
And just fuck with everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, May 29th. Get your tickets. It's on the patio, so it is a little bit more of a limited seating. I think we can do like 50 to 70 inside.
Right?
We've done in the past, but like patio's like 40. So
which makes sense.
Tickets are selling. People are interested. Things are flying off
it's
the
Star
shelf.
Wars.
It's Star Wars. So that's that. Let's step off this mortal fucking coil. What did I watch?
What
this
did you
week?
Watch, Mike? Holy what did
shit.
You watch on the ship?
What I watched.
What was your favorite thing?
Yeah. What was the favorite thing on the cruise?
Favorite thing on the cruise was Companion.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Companion is the ship.
Yeah, that was great.
That was to Vancouver to see Martin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there was that on the plane. We rewatched X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past.
Nice.
I like Days of Future Past.
They're
I know
both good.
You
They're
know,
both good.
I love them both. Those two movies were amazing. The third one,
Apocalypse really fucking shit the bed, but
yeah. I mean, he didn't like being in that costume, so I mean, that really affects the guy performance.
It also was just Apocalypse was so he was just so underused. He was so stupid.
It was
from the comic book to what they did in the movie. It just didn't make
it's
sense.
It's like what's his face in the first Guardians?
Oh,
the big hammer.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Anyway,
you know, everyone knows who we're talking about. He's kind of bad guy too. Like it's more about the stone and
Ronan.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ronan. Yeah.
But okay, so those are the things that I watched that I like. You know, past time the Last Breath. We're talking about with the guy who survived with no oxygen at 300 feet for 27 minutes.
Oh, so that's based on a true story?
Real true story.
Oh, shit.
You find out in the end, which makes the tears go.
Holy fuck.
You're like, holy shit, this guy survived with no damage, guys. Wow. Like, it's not just he survived. He survived with no brain damage. And the scientific community only states that due to the pressure and temperature, that
just like the abyss.
It's like the abyss.
That's
exactly.
That's what I was going to say, man. Yeah.
James Cameron was
the
right.
Abyss.
Before
I guess
he was right.
So. Fuck me.
But what did I watch this week that I like consumed briefly and watched intently was Drop. With Violet Neal, I believe her name is, playing a woman named Violet, which was kind of odd.
Oh.
And then Brendan Skelner from 1923, With Us. So if you haven't seen the trailer for it, it's a cool Blumhouse. It's Mr. Jason Blumhouse.
Okay.
A date goes down with a single mother who's a domestic abuse survivor. It's her first date since the domestic abuse, right? She's been raising her son. Goes on a date. Dude's like really like handsome and shit. He's Brendan Skelner, right? Like get a chubby for the guy. Shows up on the date. It's an awkward date. Next thing you know, she's getting drops, right? On her phone, right? Airdrops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And these airdrops to do things.
Right, or they're gonna,
Or they're gonna kill her son,
gotcha.
And they've got someone in her house,
right,
watching her son sleep.
Oh, wow!
And you're like, okay, where's this crazy thriller going?
Yeah.
And then because she interacts with two other random dudes in the bar, the bartender, it becomes that. Do you remember Devil? when you were wondering who was the devil.
Yeah, in the elevator.
In the elevator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is who is the person in
airdropping.
Airdropping.
Gotcha.
Because they can't do it unless they're 50 feet away.
Right.
So
right. So they got to be in the like.
They got to be in the vicinity.
They're there. They're close. They're close.
And the science of airdrops gets involved in the and
that's
why
fun.
People do it.
That's fun.
But the cool, there's two cool parts to it. One real cool part is every time the airdrop happens or the text occurs between her and the killer, let's say, it shows up on screen. So it's part
oh,
of
I
the
see.
Environment, right?
I
it's
see.
On the curtains. It's cool. It's on the table. It's.
I like that they're doing that a little bit.
Yeah.
More. It's a more innovative way to, you know.
This one has like some really good comedy in it. The waiter is an over-the-top improv artist who just keeps ruining their date.
Well, it's good. That way we don't have to, we can see the people's facial expressions and not miss that. And we just, and we know what they're looking at on the screen. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you, and you,
I don't want to look at a phone.
Well, and like it's him also, like there's some fun stuff with like, why are you always on your phone?
Oh,
people
nice.
Are on dates and why,
yeah.
like they're apologizing for being on their
on
phone
the
and
phone.
Not being.
Yeah.
So there's not the in the moment conversation comes into
which
it.
It's just like a real, yeah, yeah.
That's a real thing. Like it is one of those like who is it, who done it mystery kind of thrillers. Like
yeah.
you know they're in the room, so who's in the room? Takes place in one room. Takes place in a restaurant called Palette. It's
what
it's
city? What city it takes place? Where?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Get it in a high rise. Like
were
it's
you?
A,
is there an actual Palette?
I don't know. If there might not be now because they did the something happens to a window. What were we gonna say?
Did you enjoy the reveal?
I enjoyed the
oh cool.
I had fun because me and Sean at 10 minutes in were like, "Okay, it's that person. No, it's that person."
Right.
So,
and that's kind of what you do. That's what I like about these two.
It's a play along.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Right. So I had fun. I mean, yeah, there's some glaring plot holes.
Of course.
Right. Because it's technology, so it's. You choose or you not choose. Like,
right.
She keeps declining them at first, like anybody does. Because
yeah.
has anybody been airdropped here
yeah,
inappropriately?
Yeah.
You know, you're out.
Well, that's why.
Is that only Apple? Can you do that on Android?
I don't know.
If Android has a version, it's not called AirDrop because I'm pretty sure that's.
Yeah, because I don't have Apple.
Yeah.
But yeah, like with mine is set to only contacts, so I'll only show up. For people that I have on my contact list.
Mine was for everyone in the world
yeah,
at one
so,
point.
So you can have it set as...
How do you not get dick pics?
Well, that was a thing that was happening. Like, yeah.
Well, and that's even a joke, right? Like, he grabs her phone. He's like, let me see. What's going on here? And then he's like, oh, God, thank God I had it, right? And they're like, it's a dick pic and all that stuff. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, it's very plot-driven, right? Like, it's okay, who is it? Right? That's all you really care about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you find out who it is and why they're involved, it's cool, right?
Oh, nice.
Like, it actually, I'm like, okay. Yeah, you basically, you're gaslighting someone into doing everything you want them to do.
Right.
And then it's like, I won't ruin it, but it's not supernatural, right? It's practical,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
grounded. So you're like, okay, all right, fair enough. It's a movie. Seven.
How many airdrops do you
give? Seven potential.
How many airdrop dick pics?
Thank you. That's where I was going.
How many air dicks do you give it?
Seven air dicks out of 10.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty decent.
It's worth. I mean, production value is great. The supporting
it's
cast.
Funny
like
too. She was in that Netflix show that was like a murder mystery.
Yeah,
too.
She was.
Liv
the woman
Schreiber.
Nicole Kidman and Liv
yeah,
Schreiber.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She's also in first season
oh, yeah,
of
White Lotus.
Of White
which
Lotus.
Is also like a whodunit.
She's in a new series coming out
that's
on
really
Apple, I think, called Siren or something, where two sisters, the younger sister gets involved with this crazy CEO type power figure and is obsessed with her, and her sister tries to come in and rescue her. This weird cult. Julianne Moore's in it. This girl's in
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, if you want to watch something fun that's 90 minutes, I mean,
yeah, they don't really make 90 minute movies anymore, so it's kind of nice.
No, and when they do, Shauna agrees to watch a movie, so
yeah.
I'm like, all right, 90 minutes with you is it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
because she can do an hour and 20 minute of a show,
yeah,
right, when they do the long format,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other thing that I have to mention because it's such a good movie is Sinners,
yeah, it really
is
really, it deserves all the hype. It's
it is, it,
right
it you go into it. And you're like, all right, it's a period piece, right? And the you are tricked into thinking that it's about two guys coming back from the big city wanting to open a juke joint.
Yeah.
They want to open a club back yeah. in Mississippi where they're from.
And even there, like, there's so many awesome elements throughout the whole movie.
That
like,
story until the real shit happened. Their whole backstory
real.
Is so cool.
Yeah, I'm like, I would watch a movie of just that whole.
I'll watch a sequel of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it.
And what's neat is like it's almost just like, hey, here's a cool folklore tale that's kind of already wrapped in an established thing with, like, you know, vampires.
Well, and it's a right. period. It's a period in the black community.
Yeah,
it's a period of, like, music, yeah. like really good music.
Yeah, it's almost like, almost like an origin of the blues. Not really, but in a way, right? And
like,
what that music does.
You said it best, and I coined it, and I put it in my review. You said it's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou meets...
Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn. And
yeah.
I was like, it's more like Blade meets Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's both in the same sense that, like, it is this story that you don't see having this genre in it at all. Like,
no.
It doesn't get genre until halfway through the movie.
Well, when you're describing it, I'm kind of like thinking Cabin in the Woods.
You know, well,
sure. Yeah. With a big switch that you just, that makes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's big switch where you're like, I didn't see that coming out of nowhere. Like, what?
It kind of does like what Prey did, where they take a story that's really interesting on its own, and then they're like, and then vampires show up. You know what I mean? Like, one of those things where you're like, it's already so, I'm already so into this. I'm already so gripped by it. But then they bring in this, like, folklore horror element to it that just works so beautifully the way they do.
Well, and you're like, okay, Mississippi, the South, vampires, like everything I know about the South and vampires.
Interview with the vampire. Interview with the vampire.
Interview with the vampire,
well,
right? Like,
the whole idea is like that you can play, because the blues is all about, like,
I'm gonna go get
soul.
Some water first.
Keep going. Yeah. The blues is all about the soul, and it's all about, like, you know, real emotion. There's this concept of, like, you can play a style of the blues or a song of the blues that opens a gateway to souls that are trapped on Earth, let's say. And it's very, like, it's just one of those things where it's just written so well, and they just kind of, you know, slip it in there. And then as the story starts progressing, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, you start feeling what that means, and it starts making more sense. And then as that's happening, you know, and, like, there's, the cast is just stacked.
Oh.
And some people show up, Martin, for a scene. Like, they're just, you know what I mean? Like, super great performance. They're in it for a scene, and you're like, wow. Like, that's what I love, is they don't make movies like that anymore, because usually it's like, okay, if Brad Pitt's cast, he's going to be in the whole movie. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So it was neat that they had, like, moments where you're like, holy shit. And then it's like, the story is told the way it's told.
So I came out of, I came out of this, like, just... Like, in a, I came out of it like I went somewhere. And that is my, that was my favorite thing about this movie, was like, I'm gone from Winnipeg for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm in 1930s Mississippi. I am at a point in America where, like the American story is happening at the same time as this fantastical vampire story. But Miles Catton, the guy who, like, the singer, the blues artist in it that you're going to see, Martin, is one
unbelievable.
Like, there's a moment where, like, you're introduced to him and his ability to sing at the same time Michael B. Jordan's character is introduced to it.
Yeah.
And it's this, like, it's this voice that comes out of him. It's like, it's a voice from the past. But Wunmi Mosaku, who is from Loki.
Yeah, she was the TVA.
She's she's one of the love interests
you know,
in it.
You know what it is?
Charles, I could not take my eyes off of her.
She was incredible.
Like, she is,
stole the show from the minute she's on
fuck
screen.
Is she beautiful. Like, she is,
she was unbelievable.
I was blown away by her movie.
She was, you know who she is in the TVA, Martin, in Deadpool and Wolverine. She's the one that shows up, and when Peter shows up, they're like having those little innuendos, like she's super into him, but
was she the one in what do you call that thing? The Lovecraft thing on HBO.
Yeah, she was. She was in that.
She was played one of the characters there, right?
Yeah. No, she was phenomenal. She was great. And Hayley Steinfeld was unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
She was great.
It's such a good movie for an original story. That's what I love the most about it. In a time where it's all reboot, right?
It came out of nowhere. Like, Coogler. And it's so funny, even looking, when you look at his resume, it feels like it's out of nowhere for him, too.
What else has he done before Panther?
So he did the first two Creeds.
Okay,
He did Fruitvale Station, which was his big, like, the big movie that got him on the map.
Okay.
What else? Obviously, he did Wakanda Forever and Black Panther.
Yeah, see, that's where I was introduced to him. And honestly, I until you said Creed, I actually should know that, because I remember that now, because that's really where they met.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Really?
Was their first
movie. Wow. So they're just
they
like
were both. They were like, He's not even 40 years old yet, Coogler. I think he's like I think he's my age. I think he's like 38, 37, 38.
He's in his late 20s, I believe. I don't think he's tapped 30 yet.
No, no, no. I think he's like, I think he's like 37. I think he's like my – I think I'm pretty sure he's my age. But, yeah. Like, like, he's just unbelievable. Even his way, like, when he was doing press for Sinners, the way he was talking about how he approached it and why he wanted to use an IMAX camera and everything was so unbelievable.
It's he's shot. Like a, there's different formats in it. Changes in and out of like two different formats that are obscure. That they're for the filmmaker, not for us. But they look amazing.
And there's a sequence there that Coogler really. It's Martin. It's a very big creative decision, but it is amazing. And it's just to show.
You're talking about the musical montage.
The evolution. Yeah. Of music.
The evolution of blues and rock and how
he shows the evolution of blues. From 1930 to now in one dance, like in one music scene, but the way it's filmed, the way he does it, I've never really seen something like it. And it's amazing.
It's a music video break in the middle of a movie and it,
but
works,
it works
so
per- it just works. So
it
well.
Works with the story. It works with the lore.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Point is it's a 10 out. I think 9.5.
It's why you want it. It's literally what. One of those movies that you're like, this is why we love cinema and this is why we love theater.
So, yeah,
like we love seeing movies in the theater, you know, like it's really good. It's really, really good, and it never tries to be bigger than what it's meant to be is what I like.
I saw
is it direct is it question is it like direct horror or like kind of more horror adjacent?
I'd say more a thriller than a horror. Like, because
I mean, okay, we all know vampires are in, but
yeah,
that makes it more,
because I wouldn't see Dust Till Dawn as a horror movie.
Yeah, I would say that's an action, like horror adjacent, like an action horror. That's
yeah,
what
like
I would
an
say.
Action, because like, and I would say this is more, yeah, I'd say this is more a drama / action thriller, to be honest.
But it's a period piece.
It is definitely for sure.
It's multi-genre, I guess.
It is. It really is. Like,
because
it
when it goes to vampires, you're like, okay, this is like anybody else. This would be hard.
That's
a
what
hard
mean.
Right turn.
That's what I mean.
But
yeah.
It just dovetails into vampires.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm with it.
And, like, the intro of the movie is a quick, like, there's legends that say blah, blah, blah. And it's a quick, like, little thing. And then the movie starts, and you're like, it's in the back of your mind. And then as things start progressing, you're like, oh.
Exactly.
Oh. So it works.
I get
like, it.
It
really works.
When you guys said the cameos, like, amazing performances, I just thought of that scene from the studio with Olivia Wilde. We're like, you know, she does a cameo. It's the fucking best. I nailed it. It's the best thing I've ever done.
I've ever met. Oh, I love that show. So Sinners and Drop were my little bright moments in a week of having to go back to work. There's a ton of other stuff that we're watching, but we don't have all day. So what'd you watch?
I just watched The Monkey last
night. Talk about
Is that the what's his name? Robin.
Oh no, you're thinking of the Robbie Williams.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What's
oh, not Monkey?
No, this one's. I believe it's a Stephen King short story.
Yes, you're
and
right.
Then the writer and director adapted into like a full feature length. Like, honestly, Martin, it is Final Destination with a wind up monkey, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
People wind up this monkey. It's like an old school. It's creepy as fuck.
It's the old, like,
but it's an old school drum
monkey grinder monkey.
Yeah,
right?
I know that like that. You know,
every
the drum.
Time someone turns it, somebody gets murdered, but like Final Destination style, like brutally. And
just a brutal accident.
Yeah, like a freak fucking crazy accident. Like the beginning of the movie is Adam Scott as the monkey, and he walks into a pawn shop and he's covered in blood. And he walks into a pawn shop and he's like, I just want to sell this to you or leave it here. And the pawn shop guy is like, why? And he's like, I bought it for my kids and my kids don't like it. It freaked them out. And then the pawn shop guy goes to turn the key and he's like, don't do that because fucked up shit happens. And the pawn shop guy's like, whatever.
Sure, whatever, man.
Turns it anyways. And then the monkey does its little thing. And then in the background, there's a mouse walking around. And they cut to it every now and then. It's walking on a shelf, but then you see a rope that's going across the pawn shop, and as the guy's turning it, the mouse starts deciding to just chew on this rope. The rope snaps, and it turns out it's attached to a harpoon thing that he has hung up. The harpoon goes right through the pawn shop dude, right in front of Adam Scott. Another thing of blood goes all over him, rips the dude intestines out, and then he's just stuck in the pawn shop, and that's literally the opening 2 minutes
it's a great
fucking movie.
It's a fantastic
yeah
kill.
Where'd you watch it?
I downloaded it, but I think it might be coming on Prime. I think I just got
it. It is. Yeah, no, it is. You're right.
I think it is
right.
on Prime,
yeah,
if
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is. It's really good. It's really, really fun. It's super entertaining. Like, it's fucked up. Theo James is amazing. He actually plays twins in it, and it's very, like, you know, typical twin, like, you know, movie style is one is, like, a little bit more sane than the other one.
One tried to eat the other one's umbilical cord.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, like, it's good, though. It's really good. It's really weird. Tatiana Maslany is in
plays
it.
Mom.
And she's phenomenal in it.
She is.
She's so good, and she's not in it long, but she's great.
Osgood Perkins is in it.
Yeah, Twyla from Schitt's Creek, Eugene Levy's yeah. Daughter's yeah. randomly in it, too. But it's really good. It's really fucked up. Like, if you like Final Destination, to me, I like this a little bit better than Final Destination because it just, I like the concept that it's not death in charge. It's kind of people are. Like, whoever decides to turn it, you're the one that's creating the carnage.
Yeah, human consequences. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. And like,
and it, but it is left to the universe in a sense.
It is left to the universe for sure. Like, the monkey decides because you have a very important scene where someone is like, please kill so and so. Just do it. And not only does it not do it, it decides to kill someone completely.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what this whole. So it's a lot of fun. It's really intense. It's filmed really well. Like, that was one thing I didn't expect, is it's really well made.
Did this come out in theaters? I don't even remember it.
It did, yeah, it did. But it for a little bit.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then straight to DVD.
I would give it, I would say same as Drop. I'd give it like 7 monkeys out of 10.
These aren't perfect cinematic experiences.
But
these
totally
are
worth a watch.
Totally worth the watch.
It's so fun.
Fun, entertaining.
And yeah, some of the deaths are savage.
Oh, they
like,
are.
And they're long, man. Because in Final Destination, it's a lot of the buildup. Like, you see something unscrewing.
Yeah.
You see this. No, like in this one, Twyla's, for instance, is one of the most savage ones. She falls downstairs, then goes upstairs, then gets set on fire. And then,
and then runs out into,
it's crazy. It's nuts.
Doesn't she run into, like, the mailbox or something?
No, into the for sale sign.
That's right.
Yeah.
And,
it's
like,
crazy.
long pauses on kill shots, like Charles said. Like,
yeah, and then they do something that I really love. That I love when horror movies did this. The Ring did this, and it really fucked me up. Is a character's talking to another character, and they're like, yeah, there's been some weird accidents lately. All of a sudden, cut to someone's face is under a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And you hear it and everything, and then it cuts back to them, and then she's like, yeah, and then something happened with Mrs. Perkins, and then cut to savage violence, and then back to them talking. And you're like, you know, it gives you those, like, holy shit.
That kind of reminds you of the Guy Ritchie in Snatch when he's like, he's talking about boxers, like, oh yeah, then shot himself, and they show him shooting himself
right.
in the
and
head.
And
one Madfish Willy went mad. He's in an insane asylum, going mad.
Yeah, right. Like, and it's those things that you're like, it just.
We don't have enough time. Cut to.
Yeah. And it's a very, again, because it's a horror movie. Like, Bunky is for sure a horror movie.
Yes,
it really works because, again, it's also one of those things where even when it's calm, it's not really calm because at any moment they can just cut to something.
The anxiety of the monkey's carnage is always keeping you up.
And it's super, like, whoever designed it, it's super creepy. Like, it just looks creepy.
It's Osgood Perkins, man. I mean, that's a lot. Like, that's Anthony Perkins' kid. That's the guy who was in Psycho.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Like, he grew up around a time in Hollywood. Anthony Perkins was also incredibly drama charged. Like, he has a lot of stories about him.
I really liked it. I didn't expect it.
7 eviscerated intestines out of 10.
Yeah. I'll say
7 random appearances from Adam Scott out of 10.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a great way to start.
All right, hey, I'm in.
And I just love, he's, and the guy, the pawn shop, before anything happens, the pawn shop guy's like, you know, you're covered in a lot of blood. And he's like, oh, it's not mine. That's his response.
Very casual.
Oh, it's not mine.
Martin, how's Andor?
So all 12 are done. If you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it yet, watch it. Watch them in threes. So episodes 1 to 3, whatever. Just watch it in chunks of threes because that's how they released. Because the way Tony Gilroy films wrote it, is each 3 is like its own arc, but then each arc leads up to the eventual Rogue One. Each, like, the whole season 2 eventually leads to Rogue One, right? But very different feel between seasons 1 and 2. Season 1, I found, was all about the backstory of Andor. Who is he? How is he involved? That was it, right? Why? What was his motivation for joining?
Why?
Season two, and we know, like, I don't know if you've read anything about it, but they've mentioned this in a bunch of interviews. It there's a lot of time gaps between the arcs,
right? Like, all
yeah, they do with arcs. So
you don't have
eventually,
all the time,
like I said, you'll eventually lead to Rogue One. So season two is all about the rebellion, how the rebellion's built, how everything progresses to what you see in A New Hope, because. And they show this in Rebels a lot, but like the rebellion, and I guess they show this a bunch in the first season. But the rebellion is basically in the first season is unorganized. There's a bunch of different factions fighting the Empire on their own.
Right.
And
right.
How that comes together is what season two is. Awesome. That's the combination.
Assembling
of it.
The team.
Yeah, because you're right. Yeah. By New Hope, it's just one rebel. Like you're all part of one rebellion, essentially.
How do we put this into one focus as opposed?
Yeah.
To-
how do we? Yeah. How do we? Put all of our, because they're all different factions, right? Everyone wants different things in the galaxy. So how do we put all that aside and fight against one evil empire who is capable of destroying us one by one, but has a harder time when we're banded together?
Right.
So that's what season two is about. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give this comparison. Season one was great. Season two is Empire.
Yeah.
Strikes Back. That's what it is. What? So this is Tony Gilroy's Empire Strikes Back. This is Tony Gilroy's Godfather Part 2. That's how crazy Season 2 is.
Awesome.
It's fucking insane. Okay. And I'm overhyping it, but I've overhyped it to someone else, and they said, yeah, fucking perfect show. Perfect show. If you look, IMDb has rated this thing, like, there's a few, like, maybe half of the episodes are, like, 9 point, I think the lowest is 9.6, but 9.6 and above are basically the ratings of the episodes. In season two,
it's
the highest rated live action anything Star Wars is. What
it's and there's one episode. I'll say this. I won't say what, but there's one episode in season two that's considered, and I could totally see this. It's considered probably one of the greatest TV episodes in all of TV.
Yeah,
and this is from a Star Wars show.
Yeah,
right. It's
it's
Star Wars.
Wild.
It's what happens when you let somebody who's like, okay, I'm gonna take a story that no one's ever seen in Star Wars, but works in Star Wars.
But in a way,
and everyone always fights back and goes, but there's no lightsabers. And it's like, yeah, but that's not what Star Wars is about at its core.
Yeah.
That's what its marketing capabilities are, but that's not what the story is.
And what's so funny is in the OG trilogies, technically it's just Luke and Vader that have lightsabers.
Yeah, but that's the Skywalker saga from George Lucas. That's what it is.
But all of the work that Luke gets to profit off of,
getting
to Vader, is because the rebellion pushed so hard.
100%.
And let's not forget, like in Rogue One is not Star Wars. Rogue One is a Star Wars story. It's not Star Wars because the original Star Wars had a lot of taken from Westerns. It had a lot taken from samurai movies. You know, that's what the influence was with Star Wars. That's what The Mandalorian did so well. The Mandalorian show, it reflected Star Wars to its core. Bastard. It kept a lot of the values of the original trilogy alive with the Skywalker saga. But Rogue One and Andor is a Star Wars story. It's totally different. It tells a different story about it. It's the guy who wrote, like, the Bourne Identity series. Like, that's who Tony Gilroy was, right? So it's a spy thriller. It's a spy drama, political drama. That's what Andor is.
That's what it should be, because when Rogue One starts up, Andor's in an Imperial gear. Like, he's undercover, right? He's sneaking.
Well, and it's
he's
also
in Imperial,
like,
gear, and he's not an Imperial officer. And it's like, how the fuck did you do that?
There's always been the politics of the Imperials. It's always been there, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they are the Nazi. They are the are the World War II dictator.
Yeah, for sure.
But you've never gotten into the politics of it and what those politics do to people. And that's what makes Andor so great, is this is how a group of people fight back against the tyranny of a government. And that really resonates with a lot of people right now, politically, outside of fantastical land of movies and TV. Like, if you're upset at Trumpism, if you're upset at MAGA, if you're upset at any sort of world global power being like, fuck you people, you're my bitches, Star Wars speaks to people right now.
And it's also it's also that thing that I love, where you're technically living in a world with gods, like force users are kind of gods amongst men.
Yeah,
but you still have that story of what's going on with the non-force users, and they're
it's a big galaxy. That's right? And what are other people doing?
Far away, guys. Right. I mean, there's a lot of
But it's also interesting seeing the ripple effect that the Empire has on farmers.
Yeah, and, that's my point. Mean? Is like,
and mechanics and you know what
which
I mean?
People
like, yeah.
out there are right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a
sure.
farmer might not be a Star Wars fan,
right.
but the story of the farmer in Star Wars is,
right.
it, can
it's relatable.
Pull it. It's relatable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think
yeah, that, everyone forgets Luke was a farm boy.
That's right.
That's what he was. He was a farm boy. Hunter. And then yeah, yeah. Empire fucks up his world. He joins the rebellion.
Well, and we're the in Rogue One, like it, Jyn Erso is kind of hidden away in like farmland. Like they're kind of, you know, supposed to be hidden away from the Empire, living off the land, kind of, you know, nowhere when the Empire finds them because we find out her dad designed the Death Star and all that. But
I can't remember the interview, but Tony Gilroy, when he was interviewing and he was coming up with the idea and pitching this original Andor season to Disney Plus, they were like, yeah, don't shoot the first shot of Andor in a brothel. And then he's like, fuck you, I'm going to do it. And he did it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll say this, in season two, he pushes the limits to stuff in terms of darkness that I've never seen in Star Wars. I'm just like, oh, fuck, this is crazy.
That's awesome.
Well, and I think in a world
that's
where...
That's great. Why not?
Like, this is... Because remember how I was always pitching, I want an R-rated Star Wars?
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
as close to it as they have so far in season two.
Because it's real. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... It's not like
it's stakes. It's understandable consequences.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
government.
It shows. It shows the like. It shows a lot because the Empire was pretty brutal. We don't get a lot of that in the movies, but
yeah.
holy fuck! Like we, it's the Empire. I'll just say that the Empire is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, and they show it in Andor.
And I mean, like a lot of the fan base is adults now.
Yeah,
more adult storylines. We're not saying like, and that's the thing with Disney is like Disney. You have all aspects of it. You can make the kids shit, the animated stuff or whatever. Not saying that animated can't be for, but you know what I mean? Like, they still have that element to make the family-friendly Star Wars for everyone. But they should also do what Marvel's dipping a little bit, which is start dipping in a world where we
fuck
see...
Bombs.
Like a Deadpool. A Deadpool.
Yeah. Like, there is a big darkness, literal, a dark side in Star Wars.
It...
Let's really see what the brutality of
You know
is.
All those kids that love Star Wars? There's a reason. Their parents introduced them to it. Guess
right.
what? We're
right.
parents. So... Like, make family-friendly Star Wars works at the rides, works at the park.
Well, and I mean, look, like, Revenge of the Sith, like, they didn't have to show him killing younglings, but that scene still stands out.
Oh, that's huge!
Very bad. Like, when he starts the lightsaber up and that kid actually, like, gets scared, and then I think we see a hologram of him, like, right, but that is enough that we're like, whoa, this is not your kiddie Star
Disney's
Wars
like,
anymore.
How do we do this without right. any blood? I know.
That's not funny that you mentioned that Revenge of the Sith. Think that, but... Now imagine that over the span of season two.
Right, 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 right. Totally.
That's how it gets dark. And I was like, I've never seen anything this dark in Star Wars.
Even in Obi-Wan. Like, we never, like, when Vader, that first episode where Vader's walking through and just choking people. Remember?
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And not choking them.
Bing, bing,
snapping
bing,
their necks.
Snap.
It was like,
yeah.
whoa. And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
These are just civilians in
right.
a town.
And if they really want to show... if they really want to show us how Vader had that energy of he walks in a room and people are like, fuck, that's a way to do it,
you need
it,
to
man.
Show what Vader,
yeah.
you need to store,
what did he
show
do?
Us the story of what Vader's
right.
capable
what
of.
What did he do to make everyone be like,
yeah.
fuck?
A black helmet
right?
only goes so far.
And even Rogue One, when that one, when he's chopping everyone up in that hallway and they're slowly trying to get
yeah.
the plans away. He is
and
like,
then both hallways close.
Yeah, man.
And you're like, oh, this
and
is the
so,
worst place to be.
Now that you mentioned Rogue One, what's cool too, because I just rewatched it after watching Andor season two.
It works well.
And it hits totally different.
That's what I heard.
When you rewatch
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I watch it, I'm like, oh, fuck. This, now
well,
I get it.
There's pieces for us,
I
right?
Also,
we're like, yeah.
I read a whole thing that said season two really explains why, because a lot of, and I think it's just because people expect certain tropes in movies. At the end of Rogue One, him and Jyn Erso don't kiss. They don't, like, they just have a moment where they hold each other. Apparently, I haven't, like, because I don't want spoilers, but they said after watching season two, that hits even harder. Why?
Yeah.
Have that romantic.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's
like, I'm just going to say it's wild. Watch it while you can. If you love Star Wars, just watch it now because there's going to be a lot of spoilers. And
yeah,
watch
yeah,
it before you have something comes in your field of vision where you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't see that.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? The more you wait, the more it's get spoilers are going to come. I just say,
that's
whatever you're watching, drop it because season two is I think it's Shogun level good.
Oh, love it. I literally have not read one negative thing about season two at all.
Neither have I.
Like,
and to see Skarsgård come back with another monologue that I know was written for him.
Yeah.
I can't.
Fuck, it's amazing. They're just so like all the characters in it. I just like they're awesome. Like every character gets, like every character that you see season one gets a spotlight and gets kind of their moment.
How's mother?
Well, she's not allowed. Like his mother.
Yeah, the officer's mother. The little.
She's the scariest villain in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. Honestly, she is terrifying.
So a bunch
and
of
good actors.
There's like some really cool. There's some really good comedic moments with her use because she's a comedic character, right? And that she
she's for brevity.
Yeah,
watch that. It's amazing. I'm just gonna say I love. You know what? I have a newfound respect for Cyril. I didn't like him in season one, but Cyril.
Yeah,
his character. I have a newfound respect for him in season two. I'll just say that.
How many Death Star plans out of 10?
Easily a 9.5, close to a 10.
Love it. Love it.
I'm looking forward to it.
And just one quick shout out before we go to the debate. Oh, sorry. Are you going to say something about Rogue One, Charles? I'll let you do
it. I was just going to say that it makes me so happy to hear this because I'm hoping this just keeps setting a standard for what they do with other shows, other movies. Like, there's no reason that anything they do.
Let's adult Star Wars for a moment, shall we?
Can't be on this caliber.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
It's what I wanted. I've said it in time and time again. I want kind of an R-rated Star Wars. This is it. It's as close to R rating as we're going to get. This is it.
The show will be, and they'll get away more because it's animated. But you know what I mean? Like, the Maul show's got to be really dark and really good.
Darth Maul listener, not a show about Kylo Place Maul.
Yes.
And one more thing before we actually go into the debate, because we've talked about a Skarsgård, watch Murderbot. There's two episodes out right now. I'm loving it.
Hilarious.
I heard it's good. I heard it's really
good.
It's the
comedy that nobody was expecting.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
Watch it. It's pretty good so far. Two episodes have been released. The first two I watched the other day, and it's
on Apple, right?
Pretty good.
That's
yeah, Apple.
So I just got 3 months of free Apple TV, so I'm going to do all the Severance, all of the studio, the John Hamm show. Like, I'm making a list because
can I say this?
Yeah.
To you? I don't know what it is about Apple now, but it feels like the guy who did the intro to Severance is doing their intro for all their shows, or at least most of them. Because the same thing with Murderbot has a kind of a same feel, and John Hamm's intro, the new show, and Severance, they all kind of have the same vibe of weird kind of intro. It's amazingly done.
You guys want to know something cool about John Hamm? He'll be shooting here in September.
Yeah, I just read that. Yeah. He's doing a show.
He's doing a show called American Hostage about a true story about a hostage situation.
Cool.
Yeah, be here for like 6 months.
That's fucking awesome.
And also,
is he going to go to Skip the Dishes headquarters?
I say, and they need to film more Skip commercials. So
two for one for sure.
Yeah.
Also, listener, the reboot by Netflix of Little House on the Prairie is also filming.
I read about
here right
this.
Now too. Yeah. Yeah, oh, I have all of these at work. This is why I know this. Little House on the Prairie is filming in a field. I'll tell you where, because they have work to do. What was that?
Okamic Marsh.
No, it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but the fires are probably fucking.
No, not the fires. It was. I will tell you later.
Is it the same family or is it just?
It's the same family.
It is. Oh, so it's
John,
a straight up
John,
remake.
It's a remake.
Okay,
but it's a remake in a more adult version of Little House on the Prairie.
Like, taking place in the originals? Is it like a reboot or a remake?
It's a remake. It's
so it's set in the same time period.
1870 something.
Yeah, they're pioneers and all that shit.
100%, 100%. But it's going to have some Yellowstone-esque stuff to it.
I guess so. At that point,
is Taylor Sheridan involved?
Is what?
Taylor Sheridan involved when he said Yellowstone?
No, what I mean is it reads as if Netflix wants to compete.
They want the production value on the same.
With Paramount on that?
They want to be able to do that 1870, 1923
right.
thing.
So it's not going to be campy like the original one where it was very...
Original John Boy dumb shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So those two ones are filming here right now if you're interested. But yeah, they are in the East St. They're in the Oak Bank area now.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, they're in a field in an Oak Bank area. They needed mats to put down to start building sets.
Oh, really? Yeah,
that
was
a real fun week.
Yeah,
I was starting that before I went on holidays, came back, and I was like, oh, so they need a double. Oh, that must have been fun.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyways, Martin, you said something about what time is it, Martin?
I think it's D-E-B-A-T-E time.
Is it? It's time.
Baby.
it's debate time. Let's masturbate to Tom Cruise, listener. Cue the music.
At my signal. Unleash hell. Don't push it. Don't push it or give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein,
give me a fat beat to beat my buddy chest.
I know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work with you.
bark all day, little doggy. Don't even bite. What was that? I'm sorry, I'm gonna catch you. Could you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Yes.
TC.
Floor is open.
So, yeah, as mentioned at the top of the show, we have for you our choices of what Tom Cruise character could be a cult leader and what goes into that. I mean, I think documentaries really love the cult personality.
You know what? Honestly, I got this.
You watching something at the time?
I'm watching and playing. I've been playing Cult of Lamb. It's a great game where you build a cult and you're a lamb. Also, the cult movie that they wanted to make in the studio. I'm like, I want to see. Was it Dogstown or
Jamestown. Yeah.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Isn't it the Kool-Aid?
Yeah. Kool-Aid movie. I want to see the Kool-Aid movie.
That was the pitch in the studio.
With Scorsese.
They want to make the Kool-Aid movie, but they want Scorsese to do it. So they tell him that if Scorsese makes a movie about Kool-Aid and Jonestown, they'll call it Kool-Aid,
and that
will be the Kool-Aid movie, and then it all goes. Anyways, yeah.
That's so funny.
Okay, so yeah, and like apparently now Bill Hader's making a Jonestown series.
See, I want to see that Jonestown. I want to see that after watching.
Bill Hader's doing it.
Oh, sick.
He might be playing Reverend Jim Jones.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and I could kind of
see
it.
Doing it. Oh,
I could totally see it.
He would kill it.
But yeah, no, cults are
literally.
Yeah, he would literally kill it.
I like watching a good cult documentary just because I mean, as much as these
it's
people
a study
fault,
of human behavior, right?
Stupidity, yeah, sure, whatever you want to call it,
it's
right?
It's called the Jedi mind trick.
It is
the OG Jedi mind trick.
This is the cult you want to sleep with. Yeah. But yeah, all of the things that go into it. There's been some great TV shows about it in the past. There's been some great movies. I mean, the ones that come to mind for me are like the what's the ones we wore the Nike shoes and wanted to go to. Haley's Comet, the Hailbot people.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to catch a ride to heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven's Gate. They drank Kool-Aid and then put on Nike shoes.
Yes, that's right.
Right? So the whole point of this is to find what Tom Cruise.
Charles Manson's definitely. I guess that was his big cult.
Yeah, the Manson family.
Family
was a big cult.
Jim Jones, David Koresh.
Yeah, Koresh for sure.
Right?
Well, there was that one in Canada, too. What was that one in Canada called?
Was it Nixium?
I can't remember.
One with it the girl from Smallville.
Yeah.
They were
I'll look it up while you guys talk.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're branding up the. Yeah, I know what you're.
I mean, I was right by a cult where I was fishing. Like there was like a death cult.
Oh shit!
That believed in the end of the world, so that they would all kill themselves, and they had a piece of property in Alaska, and you don't go near that. That's like Area 51 in Alaska.
Yeah, you just don't go there. Yeah.
But yeah, so we've looked at a selection of Tom Cruise characters. We've all picked one of our favorites. I will be going first today. I went very, very, very close to home, I think, for a cult. I picked somebody who is already culty. Martin, do you have the name of it, or do you want me to keep vamping?
No, we'll just keep going. Let's just do it.
Okay.
Let's just go into
all right.
it.
So the rules are, as always, not many here on The Real Debaters. It's come up with your own idea, come up with your own pitch of it. Anything's fair game, right? Like cult leader-like qualities, compounds, flyers, like how they do their voodoo, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like you can pull from anything.
Only rule is 5 minutes. It's a kind of a soft rule, but that's it. Five minutes present.
Yeah. I have sub points, but I'll just
We don't want any filibusters.
No. Yeah. Well, all right. I do have something
open
to say,
up though. To Tatooine Sun.
Yeah.
Best filibuster ever.
So as who I've picked, we can get controversial here on the show. We can talk about characters that have some horrible human qualities. Controversial. I like that.
Controversial.
Yeah. So the person I picked Frank T.J. Mackey from one Paul Thomas Anderson movie's Magnolia. And if you don't know who Frank T.J. Mackey is, he's a pickup guru.
Yeah.
He's a guy who wants to create more masculine men. More manly
the
men.
The guy that wrote The Game or whatever.
Very Neil Strauss-y. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I will tell you at the end, listener, if you want to know about my time reading that book, I knew what I was talking about. I will totally tell you about it if these guys want to hear it, which is why I thought this would be funny because I've been in that room.
He went to a seminar.
I have. I have. I'm not ashamed to admit it. So
Mike needed some advice from the pickup artist.
Yeah, I kind of have a finger, I have a toe in the world of Frank.
That was eyeliner Mike. That was eyeliner Mike.
Eyeliner Mike. Martin knew that Mike.
I knew that Mike. I knew that Mike.
That's peacocking.
I was gonna say only a man who's that confident with eyeliner would have to be, because the confidence is from the
exact eyeliner and nail polish, right? And you're going against the status quo, and oh, dude, it's disgusting. But I just wanted to say that if you do know who Frank T.J. Mackey is, there is a line that he utters. It's pretty fucking, as a human, you don't say respect the cock, tame the cunt. You don't say that,
oh,
right?
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
You know,
that's his mantra.
That's his mantra. That's so right. Before that's we right. get into this, I wrote a PSA.
Give the listener a little background, Mike, of when Magnolia was made.
Magnolia was made in 99? The late 90s.
I think it was 99.
Yeah, it was made during a time where, I mean, sex led and, you know, new skin to win. Like, the culture was very...
Well, and Magnolia has a lot of themes.
Oh, there's
on,
a
right?
ton
there's
of...
A lot
there's
of
child abuse. There's...
It's a phenomenal movie. There's a lot
it's a great
of...
movie.
It's a great, great movie. But, like, there are things that are... questionable,
and it was relevant at the time, like that
very
was the
relevant
that were going on.
That was right? huge underground pickup
it was.
Movements
yeah.
were that's when I learned about it,
it
right
was, it
so
was a huge movement at that
but time. I just want to read my PSA for listener here so that they all know that no and it just bear with me here before we continue today's debate on which Tom Cruise character would make a perfect cult leader. The Real Debaters would just like to make the following perfectly polished, legally unbinding, PR proof statement. Real Debaters podcast does not condone, endorse, or subscribe to the teachings, tantrums, or testosterone fueled tirades of one Frank T.J. Mackey. Yes, we will reference him. Yes, I will quote him, respect the cock. No, we are not starting a 12-step program for an alpha male enlightenment in a Hollywood Inn conference room. Frank T.J. Mackey is a fictional character, a walking red flag in leather pants, and frankly, pun intended, he's the human embodiment of a YouTube that you can't skip. We're using him for comedic effect only, because if there was one thing Magnolia taught us, it's that frogs falling from the sky are still less horrifying than a sweaty man yelling about domination at brunch. So please, don't drink the metaphorical Kool-Aid, don't join the Church of Cruiseology, and most importantly, do respect women, don't respect the cock. Thank you, and please enjoy the rest of this episode.
Yay!
Somebody has that whole conversation. Get those fucking dogs away.
Get those fucking dogs
away.
You gotta
get those fucking dogs away from me. Yeah.
Okay, so now that that's out of the way and I can say respect the cock, tame the cunt, all you want. Just kidding. Why did I pick Frank? Okay, there's a couple reasons why I picked Frank, but we're gonna pick the obvious ones. It starts with the charisma, and the cult is his cult currency. He's filthy rich in this department, guys. Okay, you've got the leather pants, the shirt. You've got the embodiment of a confident cult leader. Like, outside of the fact that his cult was about male domination and male masculinity and male supremacy, he could lead any, like, just take out that idea and replace it with the end of the world. Replace it with a meteor is coming. You want to listen to someone who's handsome. You want to listen to someone who wears deep Vs. You're just, it's literally part of the cult suitcase of starting a cult. So charm, sexiness, the smile, the sniffing, the hyperbolic tendencies, right? Like, all of the misdirection qualities about him as a person work perfect as a cult leader, because you're enamored by him. You want to be him. You want to be able to wear those leather pants. And I can think of all of the times that I've ever been sucked into someone's charm. It's because they want to make you want to be a little bit more like them, right? So reason number one.
Did you get the leather pants?
I had a pleather pair when I worked at Bootlegger.
Oh, that's great.
But I didn't go full leather. When you think about it, if you replace the cock and cunt with any sort of cult idea, he's got a 12-step program. He's got a mantra. He's got a system, right? He's got a PowerPoint presentation, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Like, you can book this anywhere. This is mobile. This is easy. This is, you can set up shops anywhere already. So what I'm saying is, he's already pre-approved for an idea like this, right? Where if you take any one of his other characters, they are great at leading a situation. They are great at embodying male confidence, such as Maverick, right? Like, he's good behind a plane. But I'm not going to listen to Maverick spout off some bullshit about whatever the cult is. Right. Like, he just doesn't have the zhuzh, so to speak. Point number three, he already has a recruitment funnel.
I don't like it. He's already poking digs at other people's choices.
Yeah.
Point number three is he's on TV, guys.
He's got commercials. He's ready to go. We don't have to produce anything. We don't have to write anything. We just supplement whatever ideology, whatever belief system we want to put into this. We put it on late night on those fucking teen channels, and we just start like scooping
when,
them up.
Yeah, when cable would, instead of it going off air,
yeah,
it would play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, like ABC goes to midnight and it goes beep, and then all of a sudden Frank T.J. Mackey cuts to.
Are you tired of women not respecting you?
Well, or are you tired of not having a belief system? Are you wanting to have a little bit more in life? Join the Frank T.J. Mackey way of thinking, right? Like, he's going to insult you. He's going to call you an idiot. He's going to talk down to you. These are the things that you, how you make subservient people, right? Like, it's not a hard sell to say, is Frank T.J. Mackey really just a cult leader in leather pants? Lastly, but not like, I think this is the most important point. Whenever someone falls for a cult leader, being a little bit broken is an important quality, right? Because us as believers, if we can fix our cult leader, then we matter. He's broken. His dad's fucked him up. He has no soul. He's empty inside. He is completely backed by an idea of the more women I fuck, the more value I have. So taking those broken qualities of a human being and putting them in a cult leader not only makes people want to fix you, which then gives them some sort of meaning, it also makes you have an intimate connection with them, right? If you have a really shitty relationship with your dad, then maybe Frank will want to listen to you. And in a good cult, you pick out your favorites and then you lean on them publicly so everyone else wants to follow in their footsteps. Right. So he's going to be playing fucking mind games. He's going to, I mean, he's going to be fucking everything that he sees. So that's definitely cult-ish, right? Like Nixium, I think, believed like the only way you could stay in Nixium was if you slept with that Neil guy.
Yeah.
And then it's branded, right? Yeah, like, again, like the mantra is already there. We've actually changed the mantra to reflect a more current, more way of
make
thinking.
Make America great again.
Yeah, it's less MAGA. I've developed. What do you guys want to hear? Do you want to hear the flyer or do you want to hear the church doctrine? I do. I can give you either.
The church doctrine.
Yeah, we do have the church doctrine.
Give me the doctrine.
Okay, the doctrine. So some of these are still rooted in Frank, but I mean you can't take the Frank out of the Mackey. So rule number one: thou shalt not simp.
God.
Rule number two, honor thy mirror selfie and thy bicep pump. Covet number three, covet thy neighbor's girlfriend but never text first so there's no proof. Covet number four, suppress emotion unless it increases sexual tension.
Oh my
God. Number five, forgive not thy father for he made thee soft. So do not ever have a relationship with dad. Number six, sparketh in acronyms, PUA, AFC, and HARD.
Oh my God.
Number seven, make no idol above Frank except Frank's abs. Because, I mean, I'd wash my underwear on that shit. Number eight, rebuke the feminine, embrace the primal. Number nine, shalt thou shed a tear only at high noon, shirtless, facing west. And number 10, in Frank we trust, all others are beta.
Oh my God. What makes me nervous is someone's gonna listen to this and be like,
Okay, let me read you the flyer. I rewrote.
I'm glad you had the what do you call it? The warning at the beginning of the announcement.
I've been very handy with this one.
Yeah, I didn't want people to be like, does he also worship Frank T.J. Mackey?
All throughout the episode, you'll do a quick, and a word from our sponsor will just be the PSA again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, here's your flyer. It's like the Church of Seduce and Destroy, founded by the incomparable Frank T.J. Mackey. Respect the Kulk and tame the cucks, our sacred creed. Are you tired of being ignored, overlooked, or emasculated? Do you feel that the world has forgotten your power? Are you ready to unleash your inner alpha and destroy your emotional weakness? Then it's time to join the Church of Seduce and Destroy, the fastest growing self-styled spiritual movement for bold, broken, and beautiful men and the women who can handle them. Led by the visionary life architect and emotional reclamation artist Frank T.J. Mackey, we offer live seminars, real men, real moves, real results, weekly chat circles, guided shout therapy and sweat lodge vulnerability denial, healing touch boot camps, legal in most provinces, confessionals with Frank, one-on-one sessions where you cry, scream, and then suppress all the emotion like a real disciple. Shed your feelings, harness your fury, reclaim your masculinity. Join now and receive a complimentary signed breather leather vest, the 6-CD box set, Silencing the Inner Feminine, Frank's Gospel of Manhood. Priority seating at the annual Testosterone Revival Summit in Vegas. Call 1-800-DESTROY-ME or visit www.seduceanddestroy.faith. Website suspended by the FCC. Check back soon.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Bravo, sir.
Gentlemen,
Start your engines.
I'll go first. I like it. I love, you know what? I was kind of unsure about the stuff at the beginning where you were kind of bringing up the pickup artist stuff. But I like that you did that because I honestly couldn't tell if what you were saying when you were giving us like the Ten Commandments of your cult. No. I couldn't tell if that was something you learned from the pickup artist or it's actually part of Magnolia, which I was like, oh, this is great. Did he learn
a little
this
bit of both, right?
Like, yeah. No, it's good. It was good. Really well done, Mike.
It's such a sick and disgusting, like when you hear about it, right? It's like hearing about anything, right? You hear about this thing and you're like, okay, you kind of don't know how to talk to women. Is there a way? Is there a code? Is there a cheat code? Is there an up, down, left, right, select, start?
That's essentially what it is. Yeah.
And you read it and then you're like, okay, I'll be decent about this. And then eventually you realize how evil it is. And it's just a lesson on how to like gaslight and manipulate.
Well, yeah. And it comes from this whole mentality of women are beneath you.
Exactly. So, right. Like you're supposed to,
once you accept that, then you're good to go.
You're supposed to nag on them. Right. You're supposed to find a negative about a person when you first meet them. And I'm like, I was 20. Right? This is 20 some odd years ago.
It's the Dennis system before Dennis.
Exactly. And everyone thinks Dennis is fucking brilliant, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We did this in the 90s. No, I'm kidding.
The Dennis system.
Anyways, Charles, any points?
No, it was great, man. It was really good. I think you...
I said it's low-hanging fruit, right? Like, it's the obvious pick. But...
If you ever meet Tom Cruise, this is all you should talk about.
Dude, do you know that Frank T.J. Mackey could be a cult leader, which means you could be a cult leader?
He'd be like, I am.
I know.
He's going to be the next head of Scientology.
I think,
can he though? Could he go from film to Scientology and still do film?
100%.
No. When he retires film, he'll go to Scientology.
Yeah. He'll do one last stunt in space and then Scientology.
So how do we do, because it's L. Ron Hubbard, right? So could we call it...
No, it's still going to be the thing, but he's just going to be the David Miscavige of Scientology now, right?
Could Tom Cruise have like a C. Tom Cruise?
Oh my
right, like,
God,
does he get a third initial? Does he get an initial to replace a third name, possibly?
Probably Master.
Yeah,
somewhere
Master.
In there. Yeah, Master Cruise.
No, it's gonna be L. Tom Cruise is when he changed his name, just like L. Ron Hubbard.
That's right.
Charles, the floor is yours.
Okay, well, I unfortunately do not have as many.
That's okay.
Flyers and
I've already won. You can just play.
Yeah, that's right. I get to. I'm playing for second.
Pressure's off.
So I picked Vincent from Collateral.
Yes.
One of my favorite Cruise movies.
Listener, Vincent doesn't have a last name, by the way.
He does not. At least it's not revealed in the movie.
It's not. No, it's not even in the credits.
So if you're not familiar with Collateral, long story short, he plays a hitman who, I was saying this earlier, but essentially he was the Baba Yaga before we got introduced to the Baba Yaga.
He was a scary motherfucker.
Yeah. He's
like the Iceman in the real.
Legit,
right? Like,
shout out to Michael Shannon roles.
He's the guy that would have gotten rid of, what's his name, Jimmy Hoffa, right? Like, he's the one that gets rid of all the unexplainables. He's probably behind them.
Vincent killed JFK.
Yeah, there you go. So, essentially, the cult idea I had, it's a little bit relevant, but in Collateral, one of the last kills he has is Jada Pinkett Smith, who's playing a lawyer who is defending, you know, it's bad for a company. It's bad for a CEO, and he's going to take her out. And what's happened recently is that Luigi guy took out a CEO person, and it's made a little bit of a cult of people thinking, oh, this is great that, you know, CEOs are in danger, blah, blah, blah. So the idea I had was that the cult would basically be the St. Vincent's. And...
out to St. Vincent, the artist.
And they work in the shadows, and they work. And the idea is that even though they're just straight up killing people, they have this ideology that all the people they're killing are bad or are part of something that are bad. Not really. But yeah, so basically they're the St. Vincent's. They work in the shadows. The idea is that they, and they have, part of the cult is you have to have a very good and close relationship with taxi cab drivers. part of the cult.
That will appease the taxi union.
That will appease the taxi. So they're very anti-Uber and Lyft. It's still very bare bones. they're going old school. They're still
no yellow taxi here.
They're all attached to the cabbies. Unicity.
Wow.
Whatever. And essentially they're contract killers. they hope that the people they're killing are bad, but at the end of the day, it's all about the contract.
Doesn't matter. You got to be a heartless killer, I guess.
But they like, but they all wear the gray suits.
Those gray suits look sharp.
They do.
Cruz rocks the shit out of it in that. But yeah, the gray suits, that's their wardrobe.
That's amazing.
That's their wardrobe. They all have the gray suits. And yeah, they just preach. They preach the word of the Baba Yaga, I guess. That's essentially the St. Vincents are my call.
Does everybody have gray hair?
So yeah, that's a part of it, is that you have to be willing.
Is that
to,
a level of thing?
Yeah, once, like, so when you're in the top tier, you have to dye your hair gray or just have gray hair and a goatee, because I'm pretty sure he has a goatee as well in it. So
does everybody get their own Uber driver? Like, how are they assigned Uber drivers? Like,
so
is it assigned, a...
yeah. So basically, they go to the. I think New York has the yellow. Is it the yellow roof cab?
Yellow cab.
Yeah. So basically, part of your initiation is to become a full St. Vincent. You have to pass your interview with the yellow cab and make sure
they get qualified.
They're willing to work with you. And if you find a partner that's willing to drive you, that's part of the initiation. If you get turned down, then you can't be a Saint.
This is very Avatar. Like, you have to find your rider.
Yeah, yeah.
Your rider team.
Oh my god!
You find your braid. You got to find your braid that you connect with. Just because that's part of the
same things they use to have sex.
That's right. Yeah. Nothing's dirtier than a cab back seat. So right? Kind of works.
Yeah, let me put my braid all over that.
That's part of the partnership, you know? I mean, that's part of the MO.
And that really is what Jamie and Vincent are by the end of the episode.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, and you have to know how to, you got to do a special, what is it? It's two in the head. No, two in the chest, one in the head.
You got to have your groupings.
You got to have that MO.
That's your calling card.
That's your calling card. That's how we know the St. Vincent struck.
Well, and that's exactly what happens, is that those other cops are like...
Well, Ruffalo starts piecing it together, because very specifically they keep getting... And it's like, they're like centimeters apart. So he's like, this is too accurate to be random.
Do you have a logo? I think I have a good idea for a logo for you.
I mean, I guess it would just... The logo would probably be a silhouette of Cruz slumped over on the subway at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the, is he not? I don't know, but it's a saint.
I would love to see Collateral Damage, even though that is another movie. But Collateral Damage, the sequel to Collateral, where he does survive.
Oh, yeah.
And then he has to meet a new cab driver. And
Or it's now Subways.
Yeah. He's going to make a Subway
conductor.
Yeah. What if he's part of the John Wick universe and he's
there
in there?
Oh. There you go.
What if he's John Wick's mentor?
Who trained Baba Yaga?
Yeah.
Who trained Baba Yaga? Right?
Baba had to train Yaga.
Yeah.
I was thinking a briefcase thrown in the air and everything falling out of it.
Oh,
I think that could be your
one,
logo, right?
I thought the logo, a cool logo would have been like, you know, two in the chest, one in the head, and then blood dripping down. And that's it. You just see the bullet holes
and
then blood dripping
door.
Down.
It's a cabbie door or something like
that. A crushed cab.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like all of the little Easter eggs, like what's his face's sandwich?
Yeah.
Right? And his little postcard?
That's right. Yeah, because he always rubs the postcard because it's like of Mexico or wherever.
And then a Mercedes-Benz because he lies about working to get a fleet of Mercedes-Benz.
That's right.
I love this movie. Like, I fucking realize
it's a really great movie, man. It's a wicked movie.
I think Michael Mann has never made a bad movie.
No. And what I like about it is, again, I really love movies that you want to know about their backstory, but you don't need to know. It's just like, this is a hitman, this guy's a cabbie.
I might watch it on Prime right after we're done this show.
It's one of my favorite Tom Cruise performances, too, because it's wild seeing him play an actual, like, menacing person.
He's trying
to help Max at one point. He wants to give him confidence. He's trying to help him out.
There is a little bit of Ethan Hunt's anger from Mission Impossible 1, like, you won't like me when I'm very upset.
Yes. And he
runs. Vincent. And he runs.
And he runs in it.
Yeah.
He does have a running sequence in it.
And I ran.
Well, because in a way, part of what makes Max starting to, starting to push back against him is he is building confidence because of what Vincent keeps telling him throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Right, because he keeps telling him things like, "Oh, you gotta balls, man. You gotta blah blah blah." Right, like you gotta.
It's a very good point that that's exactly where, like, he's just like dropping little nuggets.
Yeah, telling him to like just kind of
join,
like,
the St. Vincents.
Yeah.
You too could be a St. Vincent.
Yeah, you already got the cabbie down.
Seriously, we could be partners. Martin, final thoughts.
You know, when you said St. Vincent's, I thought of
The musician.
The organization that, yeah, same, yeah. The organization in Deadpool that he was part of before he became Deadpool. Was it at St. Michael's Orphanage or something like that? Or, I can't remember what the name was. I'm like, oh, isn't that kind of like the same thing, like a League of Assassins? So I thought that was pretty funny and cool.
Right, well, and having the saint there, people might think it's a religious, like, angle, but it's not in any way, but they can play that off.
I like that you included Luigi Mangione in this idea, because it is very,
well,
like,
yeah,
there's
a lot of people that think he's an absolute hero. It's like kind of a cult following that believe this guy is a hero.
Well, and that's what the media does, right? Like, if you skew it a certain way,
right,
the culty minds pop up and they're like, oh, okay, CEOs in healthcare are shit human beings.
Oh, yeah, they're awful.
They are.
For sure.
But, like, as much as, you know.
Have anarchy now.
You can't have anarchy at the same time, right?
Yeah, Batman would have broken his legs. He wouldn't have necessarily shot him in the
Or, like, paralyzed him,
yeah,
right? Like,
so then he wouldn't be able to do his job.
Yeah, like, let's make it hard to do his job, but give him his life.
But the St. Vincent's is two in the chest, one in the head.
There's your mantra. Yes, yeah. There's your fucking
chest, one in the head.
And again, very religious, you know, two in the chest, one in the head. A little something there.
Yeah. Pin both shoulders.
Yeah,
bing, bing, bing.
Right.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Vincent.
And the Holy Vincent.
That's, I dig it. Because, like, it is from a different, like, who, like, cults are always, like, I'm leader, you're my subjects. Give me your money, give me your time, give me your vaginas, whatever. This is like, give me your ability to become an animal.
Well, it's an A personality.
Yeah.
All leaders are always an A personality, right? So,
and it's the idea that your followers are going to a better cause, a bigger cause than blah,
the system's
blah, blah.
Broken.
Right. And with you, you can be part of that difference. It's going to
kind
of like the Fight Club-esque idea, too.
For sure.
That was the whole mentality in it, is like, it's fucked up what you're
Project
doing.
Project Mayhem.
But it needs to be a little fucked up to have, like, everything balanced.
I am Vincent Paulson.
Yeah.
His name was Vincent Paulson.
Yeah.
No, fuck. I really thought I had it on lock with all my words, but apparently.
I didn't make a flyer, though.
Well, I was like... I'm like, okay, what would be funny? A commercial's
great.
Funny, but
that's
like...
Great. Even just getting that flyer would be fucking...
Yeah, please delete those flyers after. We don't want them spreading.
They're not on any public access drive.
Canva Cloud.
Share all. Turn on my airdrops for everybody.
Next time you go to the States, we're seeing that you're going to be starting a cult. Is that
right? Yeah, why aren't you here, by the way? Oh, yeah, it's just the Frank T.J. Mackey School for Troubled Youth.
Oh, then right in the go to gate one.
Yeah. All right, Martin, take us home.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different. It's going to require some participation, some audience participation, and role-playing from you and Charles, Mike. Are you ready? Charles, are you ready?
Yeah, I can do this.
Listeners at home, I want you to join us in this journey and picture this in your minds, everybody that I'm talking to. San Diego, California, Fighter Town, USA. Okay. Scene begins. Michael Charles, welcome to Top Gun main office. Just to let you know, too, we also do have a satellite location in Florida. So if you know anyone in Florida who wants to join,
here, Mark.
We have it there called the USS Enterprise. So just check us out there if you know. And you know what, guys? Both of you, don't worry. We know why you're here. It's written all over your faces. You've lost that love and feeling.
Oh, fuck.
So let's take a little bit of a tour of our facilities, our campus here in San Diego, California, Fighter Town, USA. We'll do our first stop. Welcome to our Hall of Heroes. We have our founder, Maverick, formerly known as Lieutenant Pete Mitchell. The last head of our organization, Iceman, formerly known as Tom Kazansky. Oh. And our current head, call sign Rooster, Bradley Bradshaw.
Nice.
And from you two, Charles and Mike, can I get a great balls of fire?
Great
balls of
fire!
Thank you. So, as you can see, we're here by the beach. We do a lot of physical activity involved, the Top Gun. You two will have to go to 2 months of basic training because we don't want your body cashing checks. Or no, we don't want you cashing checks. Your body can't handle. Otherwise, you'll be flying a crate full of... You'll be flying a crate or a plane full of rubber dog shit. Breakfast, 7 a.m. sharp every day, followed by a communal shower, beach volleyball, lots of high fives, and more communal showers. You are all assigned the rank of ensign right now. In order for you to pass, to be promoted past ensign and to pass basic training, your final test will be to land on an aircraft carrier while buzzing the tower. We only have two rules here in Top Gun, and these two rules cannot be broken. If they're broken, you're out. Rule number one, never go below the hard deck. Rule number two, never, ever leave your wingman. Mike and Charles, look at each other in the eyes right now. You two are wingmen from this point on.
Oh, I feel like I've been knighted.
Yeah. And from this point on, you will also be assigned call signs. So you will leave your civilian names behind. Charles, you are now known as CF Bomb. And I hand you this helmet that says CF Bomb on your helmet. Yeah. Mike, you are no longer known as Mike Petro. You are known as Burger. Here is your helmet.
That's great.
Mike and Charles, I ask you this question. Do you accept?
I accept.
I accept.
Okay, now, come join us in the mess hall. We're going to have a nice little meal. This is where we have our meals, a little couple social events have here. But before we eat, I'd like to read from the book of Jerry Lewis. You shake my nerve and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Can I get a great balls of fire?
Great balls of fire!
Are you ready to call the ball?
I'm ready.
I think I am.
And welcome to Top Gun. Buckle up. That's it. That's my push for this week.
Good. That was really good.
I like how you had to. I like how you solidified it, where the two of us now continue this journey together.
Yeah.
Well, you got a wingman. That's a big part of Top Gun. Wingman. Never, ever leave your wingman.
Right.
Would I want to be in a cult that's basically giving me the ability to work as a fighter pilot? I don't know if I'd ever be there in any other situation, so I think I'd say yes to that.
I mean, yeah. I really loved it. And instead of just explaining to it, you took us on a sight tour. Like we were.
Yeah.
That was great. That was fucking awesome.
You felt very Viper.
Yeah. A great call sign. Burger?
Burger?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I thought, like, I know you like burgers, and I wanted to name you after my favorite cat that I've known, Burger, so.
Yeah.
And you would just have your cat on it. So people
yeah, everybody would be confused. Like, well, why is
it? Can you imagine? Like, I picture your cat, the helmet color is the color of Burger's fur.
Fuck yes.
And then Burger, and then Burr on one side, and then Gurr on the other. Like, you know how it's, like, split?
Fuck a golden helmet. Gurr. I want a air fighter pilot
That's
helmet.
Great.
Yes.
That was good. That was
it's
really
very
good. Yeah.
It's like he did a flyer.
Yeah.
he did a sight tour.
He was also very smart and he made us say, do we accept? And we accept. So we're in the cult.
Yeah. At the end of the, like way at the end of the pitch,
yeah.
Like buried the lead, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He covered it in airplanes and male full frontal nudity and
references
showers.
Were great.
References were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, if I had one thing to say, like one thing to pick apart, I really would have liked, like at the moment you now have, like you, it's mandatory to practice dual high five to low five. Only like everything else was there
without shirts,
right? Yeah. Like in jeans and shirts. Like this is like when you're in public.
Okay.
And you want to signify each other that you're both part
right.
of this cult. You're like
right.
you just do the high five and walk on.
I honestly thought that was included in basic training because I said there's going to be a lot of high fives. So.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So like basically what you're doing, what my push was where is it here? Oh, so breakfast is 7 a.m. sharp every day, followed by a communal shower, beach volleyball, lots of high fives, and more communal showers.
Okay,
that's right.
That's your day, basically, at Top Gun.
In fact, I am embarrassed. I will remove my comment from the record.
I like the communal showers.
Well, there's so many.
There's never a moment in Top Gun where you're showering by yourself, and that's a great place for
most
like
pilots shower more than athletes, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they say shower so many times. Like when he's in the elevator, it's like looks like you'll need another shower. When he's at her home, can I take a shower? No, you can't.
But
I'm hungry.
As somebody who's also not only joined a pickup community for a moment in his life, embarrassingly so, I also joined the military for a moment.
That's right.
And did a year and a half of basic and battle
Top
school.
Not
Top Gun. I can tell you horror stories. But I can also tell you that the military is a cult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the way they bring, like this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I felt like he was the Army recruiter for said cult.
Right.
And Top Gun was just the mask, right? Like once they take it off, it's like,
yeah.
The only airplanes you're dealing with, son, are paper.
Right. Get folding.
Yeah. Get folding. But what about that one? No, you're not even level.
Yeah.
You're not level airplane yet.
You're Bob.
Final thoughts?
It was great. I love that you immersed us in it. Like, I really believed I was there.
Just call me Mike Metcalf, head of Top Gun School.
I looked at Charles and felt that this would be a lot easier to do as, with a person with me.
Yeah.
Right. Answer.
Well, listener, you have Frank T.J. Mackey, you have Vincent, and you have the Top Gun School for cults and airplanes that will never get to fly. And it is now our heavy responsibility to figure out who's going to win this one this week. I will make the decision based on the movie or TV show that I want to watch as soon as I'm out of here. Martin gets to set the tone for how this all works. So, Martin, you get to cast the first vote. Or is yours?
I got to vote for Mike. You made a flyer, so I'm voting for Mike.
The
you
little
made
thing.
A flyer.
Was literally that was my vote too. I was like, he's the only one that made a flyer.
He can recruit
right now.
I can. He's ready. I'm ready to do a walk around the block with you after Charles and just ditch flyers into people's mailboxes. I think St. Vincent's versus the school of I love it, Martin, but I love the St. Vincent's. I love two in the chest, one in the head. Like, I love all of these. I love the shadow cults. I love the belief of someone killed the CEO, so now you've got the cult following. Like, I have a flyer. You have a bunch of people who have already tweeted that they're ready.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean, you just got to go online and hashtag Luigi Mangione and send your flyer, and you're fine.
I have the Punisher cops, basically.
You do, right?
Yeah, it's the Punisher. That's what I thought, the Punisher cops was your cult.
Yeah.
So, Charles, we will leave this with you to decide. Does everybody get a point? Does
There's no
wrong answers here because nothing makes sense.
I think I have to agree with what Martin said. I think it's only fair because you made that flyer.
You made a flyer.
I'm going, Mike. He made a fucking flyer. He was ready. He's ready to recruit right now.
I just need the Canadian Postal Service not to go on strike, and then I can get my flyer out to everybody.
Pure later.
Oh, it's been a minute since I had a win that counts for nothing, but it feels so good anyway.
No, you brought it, man. You brought it. And your Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, what's fun? Like, I grew up Catholic. I grew up I grew up wanting to be a pickup artist.
Apparently, the Ten Commandments are back in classrooms in some states.
I think if the Ten Commandments are back, you should have the option to walk out. If you're like, I'm just going to go outside, text for a minute, and I'll come back in. Because if you don't believe in it, you shouldn't have to stand there. And if you do believe in it, you should be able to stand there.
I hope they do it like Arrested Development, where they have the giant bust of the Ten Commandments. I think that's a side storyline. They have a giant statue of the
two stones
outside of a
two stone tablets written down. Jesus,
that's church and state leaving themselves.
Yeah. Talk about a waste of money.
That's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that feels good to know that Frank T.J. Mackey could be a cult leader.
Hey, and you know what? That seminar wasn't for waste, Mike.
No. We'll talk about that in a second if you want. But there is some news that happened this week. We'll start with the lesser of the two amazing trailers, which I haven't seen, but you guys have seen. The Peacemaker 2 trailer dropped.
Hell
yeah.
Is there a new dance?
It looks so I believe from what Gunn said is they are going to have a whole
new intro. Yeah. But there's no they don't show it in the trailer yet. This trailer's very kind of
the trailer doesn't even really show plot points or anything.
Is it a teaser?
Well, it shows the big part is the DC, the people from other people here from DC interviewing Peacemaker.
Billions, Green Lantern is in it.
Yeah.
James Gunn's brother is playing the guy that Pedro Pascal played in Wonder Woman.
A really bad guy?
Yeah, he's playing that guy because he's
the character that Pascal played.
Yeah, the character that he played, I believe Gunn's brother is.
Give me the stone.
And then Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
Oh, his wife.
Dina. No, it's Dina from Last of Us.
No, it's Isabel Merced. She's in it.
How old is she exactly?
She's got to be. I mean, she was.
In 20s.
Yeah, she was Dora like, what, 5-6 years ago?
While I've been watching The Last of Us.
23.
While I've been watching The Last of Us, I'm like, am I allowed to find her attractive?
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I mean,
she's great.
I am attracted to her talent. She's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
in that role. Amazing in that role.
Well, she was also an alien Romulus, remember?
Yeah, she was the pregnant girl in Alien Romney's.
That's right. Yeah. You know what else she was into? She played a cartel's daughter in, what's that? Benicio del Toro. Sicario. Oh,
she was Sicario. She's also in Mark Wahlberg's Instant Family. She's the oldest daughter.
I've been seeing people have been making meme cuts of her from Last of Us when she has the map and she's marking it, but it's the Dora song playing. Where are we going to go? She played Dora too.
Swiper be swiping.
I thought that was pretty fucking funny.
So it's a good. We're excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. He's a great actor.
The
so
future of D, like from.
Bold statements are coming in here, listener. Listen soon. Bold statements.
From what James Gunn has shown so far with the teaser with the trailer with Superman and Peacemaker, I think DC is in the best hands. I think it's in better hands with him than Snyder.
I think it's going to become more comic book with dark themes in the stories.
Yeah.
That's DC.
Yeah.
As opposed to dark looking movies that are trying to have comedy.
Yeah.
Justice League is dark,
yeah,
and has these moments where it's like, why are you trying to be funny? Where Gunn will be like, the story, the look, the production value will
it
be.
It looks like a comic
book. It looks like a comic book. But our themes will be dark, just like he did with Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Themes of racism.
Yeah, no, and even in Superman, like that, he was very smart to make the trailer opening up with him having a conversation with Lois, and he's getting frustrated. I saved everybody. What, like, I stopped a war. Like,
I stopped a war. Yeah, that was huge.
Really cool. It's really, and again, very bright. It's very bright comic book looking, but dealing with a darker theme, like, right?
Yeah. No. Not only dealing with, it's the politics, like I said in our chat group, it's the politics of Superman that I'm like, are we going to have a joyful, hope-filled Superman? Are we going to have someone who's grounded in being a human because he looks like a human, but is also a super being, right? Like, and it's nice to see that he's like
a god. He's basically a god, right?
Why don't you understand that I was doing this for the line of, I was doing this for me. I wasn't doing this for anybody else.
Right. Because where it's good. I did the good thing.
And that's what humans can't see. And so I'm like, okay, that theme.
Yeah.
I need those themes in DC.
That's why
because
I love the line when she's like, did you ask the president for permission? He's like,
right? Like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, like, why do I need permission? I can fly.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm invincible. Who do I need to? It's not, why do I need permission? I'm above you. It's why do I need permission? I can solve this.
Yeah, like I can do it. I can do what you guys can't. Just let me do it, right? I mean,
the third Guardians, very dark.
Yeah, it was it was a more serious tone.
Long as I get some drama in my DC.
Yeah.
Because I don't get drama in Marvel. I get hope-filled scenes.
Infinity War Endgame definitely did.
Well, but we knew we were losing people.
That's what I was saying. It was also a buildup of 10 years to that point.
Yeah, right. Yes. We knew the end of the story. Where this
for
is, comically, story-wise, there are always darker themes in DC.
We have Crypto.
Right.
So would Peacemaker be James Gunn's Iron Man? Because technically that was the first thing in this DC universe.
Possibly.
I think so, Martin. I think you're right.
Peacemaker season one is a great.
It is.
Oh, it's so good.
And Peacemaker season one is still in the Snyderverse because they even have Flash and Aquaman make their cameos.
Exactly.
Right?
That's true.
So it's going to be neat. He did say that.
How do they talk about how they? Okay,
they did say they're going to address it. They did say they would.
New hires
say how
they might do multiverse. Honestly, I think I saw a clip in the trailer where it's like there was.
What do they have?
They have two Cena. They have John Cena and Peacemaker in the trailer, and it's like
at the same time.
What does DC call their multiverse? They have a name for it because both of them have done it, and I think does Marvel refer to it as Earth 6.6 and DC refers to DC refers to it as
they both do. Marvel has that too though now, but I think DC did it first where it was like Earth 6 or whatever.
Cosmic Construct is what it says on when I searched it up.
Okay, so they call it the Cosmic Construct.
In the comics media, the multiverse is never mind. It's just I think it's multiverse.
You gotta
as well.
Remember like DC and Marvel were really, there was a point where they were just ripping each other. Like Darkseid is Thanos. Right, like you know, you have all that. And,
Iron Man is Cyborg.
Yeah, like you have all those elements of like, for every like Green Arrow, Hawkeye, like you have all.
Which
those
was a bunch of grown men at the time not getting to write the stories they wanted for one company, so that other company was come on over here.
Yeah, it was also CEOs being like, well, they have Superman. What the hell do we have? Captain Marvel. Okay, you know what I mean? Like,
we need a, yeah, no, you're
we
right.
We need a gimmick.
I am. historically known as a Henry Cavill is my Superman. I'm not shy of
Christopher
Reeve,
man.
Christopher Reeve is the OG Superman. We have no Superman without, but yeah. Henry Cavill is what we get now that we don't have Reeve. Right?
Yeah.
Brendan Routh, I do not.
I mean, it was a direct sequel from Reeve, and I think he did.
That's a Bryan Singer Superman, isn't it?
It did. Yeah.
That's why it's bad.
But I think Brendan Routh did captivate. He did capture Christopher
Reeve. He had the America of Superman in him, but
he was very much Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah.
Like his, you know, when he was Superman, his one-liners, everything. That's what I'm kind of excited to with this one is Gunn did a really good job of showing a little bit more Clark than Superman. Mm.
Well, also,
because with Lois there, yeah, he's Superman, but he's really Clark.
Here's the big question, right? Guys, in the trailer. So look at how he's dressed. He's in a dress shirt with no glasses on.
That's right.
So are we getting Superman that she only knows as Superman? And he hasn't started working at the Daily Planet yet?
I think he is.
Or is this after she knows he's Superman?
Because in the first teaser, he's running down the sidewalk as Clark, his hair's all in front, and then he runs into the Daily Planet.
Okay, but...
So I'm assuming he's...
Does that mean that the Superman that's being interviewed is Clark Kent and now his identity's been revealed? Will his identity be revealed in this one?
I see what you're saying.
I think it would be. I think it would be me to Lois.
I don't think
because he looks like Superman, but he's dressed like Clark.
But she's only calling him Superman in the interview. So I think the idea is that he's supposed to still have his...
Maybe she's calling him Superman to hide his... Because she knows the true identity. She's calling him Superman to hide it. It's recording it, right? She's recording it.
Martin gets it. It's an interesting piece.
Yeah, because again, Clark is the disguise. Superman's his real self.
His real person. Yeah, exactly. He's Kal-El. His real name is Kal-El.
That's right. Kal-El is the real guy. Clark is the disguise.
So is that Kal-El in a business suit, or is that Clark admitted he's Superman? Or is that Superman dressing like a human?
And knowing Gunn, we're going to definitely see that, right? Because he also made an effort to show that Jonathan is still, his dad is still alive.
The guy who got picked to play Jonathan? Do you remember Constantine?
Yeah, he's the guy.
The drunk priest in Constantine.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Thinks he's not drinking, but actually drowns.
And then his mom is a nobody.
Well,
at least I think that's his mom who's like, I'll get your shoes.
I'll get your boots. Yeah, I thought, I don't know. Because that's another thing is typically in the Superman storyline, one of his parents is really dead at this point. When he moved to Metropolis.
Right? Well, we don't know. It could be a flashback. Could be something, right? We don't know when it takes place yet.
This, again, is my vision of Superman. Right?
Yeah, okay. So when he does get to Metropolis...
But we get a fucking dog, which is cool.
Always known that... Like, I feel that in... Like, okay, so dad died in the first one before he moved to Metropolis. Because
I'm trying
to think,
in Christopher Reeve one, they don't... After he leaves the farm, he never really alludes to his parents anymore.
Well, he only goes back to look at the ship.
Yeah, there was no more of Martha or Jonathan.
No more of his parents in the Christopher Reeve one after. So,
does it matter?
right. But I guess I think the idea is that having his parents there is still that element that he's raised as a human.
Okay.
So he has those human emotions and connections. Right? Like he loves his...
He doesn't come like a human, though.
If you've ever watched... Speeding bullet.
Yeah, if you that's Mallrats for anybody. The kryptonite condom joke.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think we're all very excited to see it. I'm getting
great.
Over my jitters. I trust James Gunn on everything else. I should just trust him on this, except this isn't just anything. This is also a lot of
pressure. Well, it's also a story that's been told so many times. So, it's got to be something unique, a unique take on it for us to like it.
I totally agree with you. Even that quick shot in the trailer where he's fighting a kaiju. Like, that's out of the comic, but that's fucking awesome. We've never seen that.
That one was
that's
to awesome. Scale, by the way, Martin.
Okay. I still don't know what that means, so I'm going to ignore that comment.
No, but Gunn's doing exactly what you said, Martin. How many, and even in the last 10 years, how many times have we seen them
there have been shows, movies.
I always just have
this is a Superman we haven't seen yet, which is what we need.
Perfect.
Right?
I'm just also leery of a studio that's in jeopardy that is having a hard time.
Well, they haven't really built a lot of confidence in expanding the verse. Like they've built separate. Yeah. Good, like I like the Matt Reeves take on it. They built separate stuff, but.
But I think that desperation is actually what's going to work in Gunn's favor, because at this point they can't say no. They have to be saying yes because they're
full. You need a head. You need someone with a vision. You can't have many different visions for this. Otherwise, the multiverse is going to get fucked. You need someone's story.
Get Gunn because he saw how things work at Marvel. He knows how they operate.
That's
a huge thing. That's a huge thing, man.
That's like a
You need a Feige or a Filoni in these big franchises because it's their one vision that directs it. And it keeps it consistent.
We needed a Feige, but then I don't know if we need a Feige anymore. I think
But Gunn is their Feige for DC.
Gunn is 100% their Feige.
He's their Feige, and it makes sense. He should be.
Gunn right? and Feige probably never got along because he's like, I could Feige
well,
better than you.
Gunn is the reason that they're still making Pattinson's Batman as a separate universe because Gunn's like, no, they know what they're doing. There's no reason. I'll do my own thing, and they'll just, again, how many different comic book versions are there of Batman going on at the same time?
Well, and the right? look and like, feel of this Superman says to the world, it doesn't look like also, Batman, so don't worry. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, will they eventually? The coloring, the shots are not Batman.
Right.
Because it's all CGI, where Batman was very grounded in martial arts.
Well, and what I love, too, is, again, Gunn is making a really good effort. This is a guy who also, his first Marvel movie was taking on four heroes, making a complete team that nobody knew what the fuck was, and he made it work.
And it was awesome.
So yeah. I think he's taken that same experience, that same idea with Superman, and is opening up. Because imagine after Superman, it's like, sweet, the Justice League are established. They don't need their old solo movies.
Well, they got a lot of work to do right? in this movie to acknowledge
right.
four other characters.
That we know of. Who else is going to show up, right? We don't know. Like,
I really hope no more because it's the good ones. You have Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You have
the ones that haven't had a lot of spotlight.
What is it? Hawk?
Hawk Girl.
Hawk Girl. You have, who's the guy with the black face
paint? Oh, Mr. Terrific? I think is Mr. Terrific. Is
Crypto.
Yeah, Crypto.
Superman.
That's huge.
And I'm assuming it's, for bad guy, it's the Brain.
Brainiac.
I'm thinking it's Brainiac.
And I mean, Lex is obviously a huge.
Lex is the human element, but like the
very
supernatural
excited to
element.
See what Nicholas Holt's going to do with it. Very excited.
I like the line.
What's his name? Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, just not him.
No, I think he's going to do a really good job. I think he's going to do a really, like, I'm excited. Again, the more I look at the trailer, I see more potential than being like, oh. You know what I mean?
You know what? One of the things I'm really excited for is what music era is James Gunn going to pick for the Superman movie? Because he always picks a music era. So in Guardians, it was 80s, 70s. And then Peacemaker, 80s metal, hair metal rock. What's he going to pick?
What I'm loving is, and again, he restated it with this brand new trailer. They're using the OG Superman theme.
Dun, dun, dun,
and,
dun, 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 dun,
and for me, that's Superman. Like that
it
is so
well.
Superman.
That puts hairs so, up on my
and
neck.
If you notice too, he did the iconic the text.
Yeah, the roll,
text and the drag. That's all from Christopher. Like, and again, that's his Superman. That's the Superman he grew up with, right? Like, so I think we're gonna get a lot of elements from the Christopher Reeve.
Just
era, that's
don't
work.
Fly around the earth to turn back time. I'm just asking. Please do not.
I don't think he'll do that.
Do that. That was.
Hey, man, but if he does, I'm like, if anybody could make that work, it's Superman.
Listener, we have thrown a lot of things at you this week. What you think of our reviews, the debates, our conversation on Peacemaker, as well as the Superman trailer. I will regale you another time with my history in the pickup world. If you really want to know, send us an email. I'll tell that story.
Oh, and also, I think this July. To be the first real heavy hitting summer blockbuster month we've had since COVID.
Yeah.
We got Fantastic Four in week one. We got Jurassic Park like week two, and then, Superman week one, then Jurassic Park, then Fantastic Four, all in the span of 3 weeks.
Do you guys want to know? Here's a bit of trivia for you, listener. Jurassic 27, whatever the number is, shot with anamorphic lenses to give the same feel as the first one.
Oh, cool.
It can feel like your first Jurassic Park.
I'm getting more into it. It still drives me nuts that I'm like, it's, you know, I hate to be
the last
guy,
one. I was
like
you guys fucked up bringing back the original cast so hard.
It was the worst.
It was so long.
It was such fan bait. It was just fan bait. That's
and then cloning? We're still cloning? Yeah, like, can we just get back to saving dinosaurs, please?
What's giving it for me with this one is they brought back the original team from Jurassic Park.
Yes, original writers.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, all right. You know, it does look cool. Like, don't get me wrong.
Well, they're back on the original island, aren't they? I think that's what it said on the trailer. It takes place.
Nubler, so. Sonar,
and
Sarna.
It looks like more like a video game-esque. Like, we got to save. We got to get this blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fine.
What's the MacGuffin?
Yeah, right. Like, right. But I don't know. I'm more, for me right now, July is Superman and Fantastic. Those are my.
Yeah, we're there. Except I can't make Superman anymore because I'm at Folkfest.
That's okay.
I know.
Superman,
you guys don't give a shit. You'll go.
I'm going to watch it. That's fine.
I'll probably go Sunday night.
What? Folkfest starts on the Thursday?
Well, I start on the Wednesday.
You start on the Wednesday.
And I might be volunteering when I'm not volunteering.
Because I was going to say, I think they'll do Wednesday.
I would screenings. Go Wednesday. I don't have to go Wednesday. I just go Wednesday.
I mean, if they're going to do what they should for Superman, this is a huge release in
like
my opinion.
Like a Wednesday preview with Thursday if, cold, yeah, exactly. Friday, Saturday,
Wednesday
Sunday.
Start screenings, yeah. Thursday have that, and then Friday is just all free-for-all, right?
Well, like, yeah. I mean, I'm also not against, like, if I don't have to work the next day, I'd go to a late-night screening on Thursday after.
Fuck yeah.
But as mentioned, we threw all this stuff at you. We'd love to hear your opinion on said matters. So there's a voicemail link and a Quora link in the show notes. If you want to ask a question about this, you just find the post that's posted. Ask your question. If you want to send a voicemail, you hit a button. It takes you to another site. You hit another button, and you start talking for up to 90 seconds. It's really fucking simple.
And then you're part of our cult.
You are. Yeah. You are. Yeah. Tell us a deep secret fear that you wouldn't want anybody to know.
We'll
and
never
we'll,
use it
we'll
against
never,
you.
Never, never, never.
Airdrop Mike some dick pics.
But I do have, before we go.
His airdrop is open all the time.
Yeah. We've talked about Tom Cruise. We did have a shout out this week. We did have somebody who was like, these are the two for me.
To Mark?
Not to Mark, no.
still not into it, eh?
But gentleman did comment. Virtual Viking 84 is his name.
Virtual Viking.
Virtual Viking. Yeah.
Wow.
This is. That's he awesome. Shows everyone. This is how the Vikings took America every night. Yeah. To me,
I think Kratos got a war.
Yeah.
To me, his best work was Charlie Babbitt in Rain Man.
That's
a good
great.
One. Yeah, it was a great movie.
Lieutenant Daniel Caffey or Coffey in Few Good Men.
Oh, in Few Good Men.
Few Good Men. Not born on the 4th of July, but that is easily. Yeah.
That's
would,
a good one
yeah.
too.
Those are his two best performances.
They are where he's acting, where he's not being Cruise.
I'm telling you guys, honestly, it's wild. But looking at Tom Cruise's career and just looking at the actual performances, the guy has...
Because didn't Rain Man get nominated for Best Oscar?
It got... Dustin Hoffman got nominated.
Best
Cruise
Picture.
Did not.
Yeah.
And it got nominated for Best Picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dustin Hoffman won, if I'm not... He at least got nominated. I know that.
I have always been a proponent of he's just a star, right? He's a movie star. Okay.
Yeah.
But looking at him more with a critical eye.
Yeah.
And
even Vanilla Sky.
Oh yeah, Vanilla Sky. Jeez.
Performance in that is unreal.
If you removed jumping on a couch and you removed if you removed all of the white noise,
you separate the actor from the characters. Yeah.
He is more dedicated to the craft than any other actor is out there. He's more dedicated to the cinema system than any other actor
out there.
He's
keeping theaters alive. Like, yeah. He really is trying to keep theaters.
And I mean, okay, you want to be a naysayer and be like, yeah, fuck, it's all about the money. Sure it is, but guess what? It's all about your entertainment, too.
Yeah. Again, this guy, he became a megastar in a point in the industry where it was starting to capitalize and be corporations, like corporation money.
Yeah.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's old like, system from the 80s to...
Right. And now he's bringing that into the billion-dollar system.
Well, he's like the franchise, time of
but like, right. I mean, I just heard him say at Con this week that he's like, I'd do a musical again. Drama again.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Rock. He was great in Rock of Ages, right?
He was like,
awesome.
You don't.
Oh, yeah. God. Rock of Ages.
He was so good at that.
I get that he's trying
he's a good actor.
To extend his stardom appeal. So by not doing those other, like, I mean, Tropic Thunder is.
Yeah.
50% because Tom Cruise in it.
God, that was the best.
Right?
So like, good.
That's the best cameo in any movie.
And my favorite parts is when he's like, who's the key grip on this movie?
Yeah, that punch one. That guy.
Go punch him
punch
in
that
the...
guy right in the fucking face. Oh, I love it, right?
Yeah, so right. Like he is willing to take himself... Like, it's just if he's willing to do the project.
That's it, yeah.
And if David Miscavige says you're allowed.
And he gives... he gives it his all, though. Whether it's Rock of Ages...
He does his own stunts, too? Come on.
Yeah.
And like not just his own stunts, like, yeah, I'll grab a wire. He's fucking like jumping off of planes, fucking staying attached to planes while they're flying. Like, he's crazy.
So
he's
I guess
a fucking lunatic. Well, I can't even imagine what his insurance, like that contract is like.
What we're saying, everybody, is that Mark doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tom Cruise is what movies are about.
Yeah, love
him or hate him.
He is he's really what, when you think of a stardom, Hollywood star, mega actor and whatnot, I'm sorry, he is, that's why his name is still relevant.
Martin, here's how we're going to walk out of here today. Favorite Tom Cruise movie, besides Maverick, besides Top Gun, go in the weeds.
Well, you should have told me this earlier, I got to think.
Hard.
Okay, Charles, this is where you don't think. This
other than Collateral, hey?
Yeah. Mine's Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I can watch Vanilla Sky umpteen million times.
That's a really good one.
Whatever pops in your head, no judgment.
One of my earliest experiences in the movie theater that made me go, holy shit, movies can be made like this. I was lucky enough to see Cocktail, actually. Very great movie. Super underrated.
Days of Thunder. Great movie.
My dad took me to go see Mission Impossible in theaters.
Yeah, sure.
And I had no idea what Mission, because my dad was a fan of the show.
That was dad's taking sons to their.
Right. And my dad grew up with the show and my dad loved the show. So my dad's like, I'm going to take you to see this. Didn't really know Tom, like, didn't understand it. I will never forget. It was the first time I ever experienced being in a movie theater. The whole scene where he is
dangling,
not even a cough. That was the one time I've been in a movie where no one made a fucking noise during that whole thing, and I didn't know movies could do that.
And it's so quiet.
It
in
is
that room.
Incredible. I was sweating, and I was like, I don't know, maybe fucking.
Did you catch it before?
Yeah, like it was, you know, like, and even still, when I rewatched that, I'd say Mission Impossible has got to be one of my.
Martin,
I'm gonna do two, but one deep cut, Legend.
Legend is
that fantasy movie is so underrated, but it was one of the best fantasy movies growing up as a kid. Watching that was awesome.
Nightmares as a kid, man. Tim Curry Satan gave me nightmares as a kid.
And I gotta go with probably Risky Business.
That's
because that was awesome. Like, who in high school kid would, like, every high school kid wants to get laid, and that kid, like, oh my god, that scene. One of the most iconic scenes was when he's the dress shirt, and he just goes through.
That's right.
In the living room, slides through in socks.
Man, and the asshole, the bad guy, in his Cypher from fucking Matrix.
Joe Palladino.
Yeah, man, and he was so good at that.
Pantaloons.
Too. Yeah, that was great. And again, look at that. Early in his career, he was a fucking kid, and already, like, iconic movie like Risky Business, Cocktail, Legend, and this is like him starting off, and he's already doing.
Shout out to Tim Curry from Legend.
Yeah, huge
listener. I believe in Scientology.
I'm proud to be part of for one day only your cult.
Martin, are you proud too to be a part of my cult?
I'll be a
part.
My thetans are high.
Okay, on the count of three, so that we win tonight. One, two, three. Go, Jets!
Go,
Jets!
Go, St. Vincent!
Go, Little Mackies!
Go, Little Mackies!
Go, Little Pete Mitchells!
Go, Burger, go!
Watch all the movies. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.